The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today is Monday, January 28th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the federal government is temporarily reopening today after the longest government shutdown in U.S. history. 800,000 federal employees who were furloughed for 35 days will head back to work today. President Donald Trump signed legislation to end the partial government shutdown. The economic cost was measured at $6 billion, $6 billion, according to Friday's estimates by S&P Global Ratings. That's $300 million more than Trump's demand for the $5.7 billion to build the southern border wall. The measure, signed late Friday, temporarily reopens the government until February 15th to allow lawmakers time to continue discussions on southern border security. Several people and a dog needed to be rescued from an icy Delaware waterway Sunday. A man walking his dog near the pond in Carousel Park when his Rottweiler went out onto the ice chasing geese around about 11:30 on Sunday. The Rottweiler went under the water and the owner jumped into the water to get him. Then he started struggling, so his son went in to rescue him.
Huh.
Officials said bystanders were able to get both the father and son out of the water using a flotation ring before the rescue crews even arrived.
Hasn't this happened a couple times at this location?
It has, in the same location. Yeah. They said that the geese are the problem, and the dogs are running out to chase the geese, and then they're falling in, and then the owners are going in to get their dogs.
Let's kill all the geese and save the dogs.
I think that's the most viable, right?
Yeah. With
some sort of
a
machine gun or something?
Oh!
I think from the shore, a concentrated machine gun fire would eliminate the
maybe
problem.
Maybe we could set up a nest or something there, you
I
know,
think
a
so.
Box or
something.
So, Cruz,
I think like an alien, so it's automated triggered, motion triggered machine guns.
Sure.
One that could discern against just like fishermen and stuff.
Right.
You know,
or just anything that moves, you know.
Listen, it's a problem. There's sometimes collateral damage.
Right.
Don't fish that pond for about a month.
Yeah.
Rescue crews who pulled them from
killed by a duck machine gun.
From the icy pond said that they had to be treated at the hospital for hypothermia. After Sunday's rescue, officials are warning people to keep their dogs off of the ice in Carousel Park. Like we said, there are a lot of geese running around, so the dogs are trying to go out and chase them. The Rottweiler from Sunday's rescue was taken to a nearby animal hospital, and the dog is in stable condition. Fire officials said this generally happens about three times a winter. They are hoping that people will heed the warning and stay off of the ice along with their dogs.
Kathy, is it possible to just fill the pond up with concrete?
I guess. Just make it solid.
I'm just trying to save lives.
A celebratory dinner was held Sunday in South Philadelphia in honor of Monet Davis's decision on which college to attend next year. In 2014, Davis became the first girl to pitch her team to a Little League World Series victory while playing for Philadelphia's Taney Youth Baseball Association. Now a high school senior, Davis signed a letter of intent to play softball at Hampton University in Virginia. The athlete has a line of sports bras, and to celebrate her collegiate decision, she launched a new bra in Hampton University colors. I'm very excited. It was a long process, said Davis. What it came down to is where I felt like home. Hampton felt like home. Davis is set to graduate from Springside Chestnut Hill Academy this spring.
It's kind of wild to enter with your own line of sports bras.
Yeah, it just seemed like the NCAA is so restrictive that when I hear that, I'm like, okay, are they cool with that? But
well, she did it before she got
she
there.
She did it before she, I know, but
well before she got there.
They're so weird about that sort
they
of
are.
Stuff.
It has to be. It's usually they prefer panties.
I got to see her play, though. oh, my God.
We don't want the bras. Panties are okay.
Where'd you see her play, Case?
Over media. So my nephew is a junior in high school, and he played against her during that whole run. That magical run that Taney had.
Yeah. It was amazing.
I watched
it
them
was so
all
much
play.
Fun to watch,
I had no idea, what we were looking at. I did know that I was, okay, Monet Davis, here's this young girl who's, playing at an elite level with these boys. And in fact, my nephew's a good ball player. He pitched to her, and she smashed the ball, into right center field. But it was interesting to watch that whole thing go down. It was fun.
That's cool. Well, she's going away to college next year. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yelling.
Yeah. The Sixers, who were playing without Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler on Saturday night and lost to the Denver Nuggets, continue their road trip with a game in Los Angeles tomorrow night against the Lakers. The games in California will also take them to Golden State and Sacramento before they return home next week. The Flyers, who have won 3 games in a row and 4 of their last 5, but haven't played since last Saturday night's game in Montreal, after the All-Star break and the team's bye week, they're finally back in action tonight with the game at home against the best team in the Central Division, the Winnipeg Jets. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. Number 18, Villanova Wildcats beat Seton Hall 80-52 yesterday afternoon at the Wells Fargo Center. Phil Booth and Eric Paschal combined to outscore Seton Hall in the first half. Booth hit 7 three-pointers and scored 25 points, and Paschal finished with 17 points, going over 1,000 for his career. They combined for 10 of Villanova's 17 three-pointers and made 15 of the team's 28 baskets. Up next for the Wildcats is a game in Chicago on Wednesday night against DePaul, and for the last week this year, the Eagles are still the Super Bowl.
Yay!
And that's what I have for you this morning.
Yay! Good morning. Welcome. It's new work week. It's a Monday. We have all that blah, blah, blah. We got cold weather on the way, that good stuff. But we have some things that are taking place that I think you need to be made aware of them. Back again. Go fund yourself. We're doing it again this week. So that means more cash opportunities for you 5 times a day. And we get to start it at 8 a.m. So listen up for your first chance to win a grand and maybe even $10,000. We have new Word of the Week prize this week. We have an RCA 55-inch 4K Ultra HD Smart TV and a $50 Philly Pretzel Factory gift card to give away. So we'll do the letter coming up at the end of today's show and so on. Then we'll have stopping by this morning. Don Jameson is coming.
Yeah.
And he's bringing with him, is it Matt Dorito? Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah.
Like the
awesome chip?
Yeah. He plays bass for the band Pop Evil. And they're performing at the Chameleon Club in Lancaster next week, but I guess they're in town this week to promote it?
Yeah, they're doing this big tour, and the tour kind of found themselves with a day off here in the Philadelphia area, and Don loves the show, so he's like, right, I want to bring him by.
Cool, man. Yeah. All right, so Don's stopping in, along with Matt. And then we have a show to announce, which we're not going to get to. It says till 10 a.m. So,
the hell? Whatever. With Pierre?
I don't know.
No.
All right. We'll do it later
on. No, 10 a.m.
Right. Later in the program, so we'll give you a heads up on that whole thing. And otherwise, business as usual. So we'll break and come back in just a few minutes, and we'll do a lesson question, get you started on that, and we'll get into some of the entertainment reports. And us being the brothers and sisters of the Screen Actors Guild,
yes,
our awards show was last night, and I'll give you some of the winners of that. We'll be back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Steven Singer Jewelers is not revealing one new 24-karat gold dip rose color this Valentine's Day. He's got 5! His roses start at only $59 exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to do a giveaway with a stupid question. We're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets for the golf and travel show and also a dozen TaylorMade golf balls, too. The show is coming up February 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Philly Expo Center. So the question I have for you, this is, I did not know this. So, Rice Krispies.
Yes.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Did you know that there was once a fourth Rice Krispies
mascot? What?
Yes. What was the name of that mascot?
Wow. Always knew about the three. Never knew there was a fourth.
This is a tough one. 215-263
WMMR.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop. And let's see if you know what the fourth mascot was. 215-263-WMMR. Not Blister Steve.
Oh, okay.
That's incorrect. So, birthdays today, while we're waiting for your answer, on Monday, January 28th, include Elijah Wood.
Yes.
Frodo Baggins.
Frodo
is celebrating his 38th birthday today.
He was essential to that movie.
He was
great. The heart and soul of the movie. Did a great job. You know, I watched the first one again last weekend.
Did you?
So freaking good.
Yeah, I like that movie.
But I never realized how short he was.
He's tiny. He's a little guy. But he's been at it since he was a kid.
Yeah.
And has had a nice successful run.
He was in The Other Kid. Was the other son or the good son?
Oh, no. Yeah. The good son or the bad son?
The good bad son.
The good bad son.
Yeah. It was the good son. And it was Macaulay Culkin was the
evil
one.
He was the bad kid. Yeah.
Elijah Wood's 38 today. Nick Carter, we have two boy band birthdays today. And they are two bands that I get mixed up all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Nick Carter of Backstreet Boys is 38 years old today. And then Joey Fatone of NSYNC.
Yes, really?
Is 41 years old today.
Those are the two.
They blur together for me.
Yeah, I guess I can see that.
In fact, all of them do, to be honest. I don't remember who did what hit songs.
Joey has a cooking show, and he's really good.
Yeah?
He's an excellent host. It's basically like many other cooking shows. He goes from house to house, and they homemade recipes and whatever. But he's entertaining, and he's a good host.
And you know what he's a regular on is Impractical Jokers.
Yeah.
He hosts some of their behind-the-scenes shows and stuff, and they put him into some of the bits as well.
He's got some charisma.
He's a big fan of theirs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked him in My Big Fat Greek Wedding,
too. Yeah,
he was one of the cousins. So he celebrates his 41st birthday today, Joey Fatone.
His gift is song, though.
His gift is song. Honored at the Screen Actors Guild Awards last night, Alan Alda celebrates a birthday today.
Beautiful speech.
Yeah, I'll get into some of the details of that in a little while. But, yeah, I always liked him, man. And we've had him on the show before. Super nice guy.
He got up on stage, press, and he ran through some of his karate kata, which is really cool.
It's kind of odd place to be doing that, but nonetheless.
Yeah!
He's entitled. Alan Alda is celebrating his 83rd birthday today.
He was a lot of fun when we had him for an interview. He was promoting his book a while ago. It was very very self-deprecating.
Mo Rocca, CBS Sunday Morning correspondent.
We got Mo Rocca into trouble one time.
Well, we were doing a live appearance for Fat Tuesday at Club Risqué.
Yeah.
And we were going to have him by for an interview.
Mo Rocca.
He showed up to the place and
he was promoting
not to come in.
Axe or something like that. Wow. He was like
body
promoting
spray.
Like,
yeah.
Something weird like that.
He didn't want to come into a strip club, so he didn't come in. We didn't have him on.
Okay.
He's 50 today. Big 5-0 for him. Frank Darabont.
Lord, it's a miracle.
Well, yeah, he directed The Shawshank Redemption, which is that clip is from. But also, The Green Mile, The Mist, and The Walking Dead, of course.
Yep. He was the
massive hit.
First of the producers. He left after, I think, the second season, creative differences.
Yeah.
But he got it rolling.
Yeah. So he is having a big birthday today as well. He turned 60 years old.
He did a really good Robert Rodriguez, right? The director,
yeah.
El Rey Network. He does a series where he talks to directors on directors.
Oh, yeah.
And Frank Darabont was wonderful, really informative and very cool.
Will The Walking Dead start up again in April like everything else is starting up in April? I mean, I know Game of Thrones is coming up in April, so is what's the other big thing?
Game of Thrones.
Infinity War? Is that what you're thinking
about? Real Housewives of D.C.?
I was
thinking.
Yes!
No, that was it.
That was it.
No, I was thinking of a TV show, but maybe it's Walking Dead. Anyhow, 60 years old today. Nicolas Sarkozy, the former president of France, is 64 years old today, so have a baguette on us today.
So I found out something interesting about France, and maybe I'm mistaken on this, but you know they're having all those riots and everything like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That they, like, only rioted on the weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
To do it in the week.
Yeah. They're being sensible about it.
You're talking about the yellow vests.
The yellow
vests.
Yeah.
It's all over gas prices and stuff, man.
And baguettes.
And baguettes, for Christ's sake.
Yo, so, listen, I went
These things suck! Does anyone know how to make a Kaiser roll?
I love baguettes.
I do, too, and I was so disappointed because when I went to France, that one day when we were over in London, I just wanted to have some baguette sandwiches. That's all I wanted.
Let me get this straight. You want a baguette sandwich?
Yes.
A sandwich that the middle part is a baguette itself? That's a bread sandwich, you idiot.
No, it's a regular bread sandwich, but the bread is the baguette.
I stand corrected.
So you know how the it's kind of crusty around it, right? Well, just before we left for a vacation, I burned the roof of my mouth. And it ruined every single baguette for me because it hurt. Every bite I took of the baguette.
Just then, we now go to our international bureau, where a local Philadelphia broadcaster has burned the roof of his mouth. thus making subsequent baguette sandwiches virtually impossible to eat. We go to Jimmy Luchowski now. Inside the Arc de Triomphe.
I saw that.
He's at the Arc de Triomphe. Well, they want to get a good visual as they're doing an international shot in there.
You guys have no idea. I went to France for two things. To see the Mona Lisa with my own two eyes.
Yeah.
And to eat a baguette. Sorry, three things. To see the Mona Lisa, the Eiffel Tower.
And to have a story about France to bring up all the time.
Yes. Yeah. And to eat a baguette.
All right.
And the baguette was ruined by my burnt mouth.
So
man, I'm back to you, Preston.
There's no one to blame but you for that.
I guess you're right.
All right. Anyhow, that's it. President of France, former President of France, Nicolas Sarkozy's birthday today.
There you go.
64. It's finally a big one for Arielle Winter. She turns 21 years old today.
Wow. It seems like she's been 21 for the past 12 years.
It does, doesn't it?
With, you know, she's when she was coming into her own, she dressed very provocatively.
Yeah.
And then she needed to clear the 18 hurdle, had a breast reduction, but she still dresses. She seems pretty cool when you their interviews and stuff like that, but she just loves to dress provocatively.
We're looking at pictures on her Instagram account. It looks like she's reeled it back a little bit. A little bit, Nick. I said a little. I see pulled up one of her just with this, you know.
But when was that taken? When was that?
Way back in October, Casey. Yeah. Months and months ago.
Yeah, she's kind of reeled it in a little bit. But anyhow, she is 21 years old today, so I'm sure she'll have a big soiree taking place. And last birthday, a guy who's been to the Camp Out for Hunger before, English actor Will Poulter.
Yeah.
From movies like The Maze Runner, We're the Millers, and recently the Baldersnatch.
That's what it was.
Baldersnatch.
Bandersnatch. I like him. He was such a nice guy.
They're going to try by the way again to do a riff where you can decide the ending. They felt that it didn't go quite as according to plan as they had hoped.
I was hoping for more. I was hoping something a little bit better.
Yeah.
It was unique, but I may watch Bandersnatch again and try a different outing or different
Baldersack.
Out comes Baldersack. But Will Poulter is 26 years old today, so happy birthday. Let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. Something I never knew. There was once a fourth Rice Krispies mascot. What was his name? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Lindsay. Hey, Lindsay, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Lindsay, do you know what that fourth character was named?
Absolutely. Pow.
Pow. That is correct. Hang on, Lindsay. I did like Matt's answer. I didn't go to him. He was going to say Ringo Starr.
There you go.
Hang on a second, Lindsay. We're going to get
look at him.
Information, and we are going to give you a four-pack of tickets to the Golf and Travel Show and a dozen TaylorMade golf balls. Come tee it up at the Philadelphia Golf and Travel Show February 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Philly Expo Center. You can get huge savings on golf equipment and accessories. You can go to myphillygolfshow.com, by the way. And I think that character was used in the 1950s, it says here on my info, to promote the nutritional value of the cereal. Pow.
Pow.
So there you go.
Pow.
All right, at the box office. Number one, again. For M. Night Shyamalan, we're happy because he's a friend in Glass.
Yes.
Was
very good. And the same methodology that he used last time with Split, releasing the film in January, really worked to his advantage.
Yeah. Absolutely. So number one again, followed by The Upside. Third was Aquaman. That's still hanging in there. It's made over $316 million.
The top two movies were shot here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you're correct.
Let's not forget about that.
Glass and The Upside, you're right.
Aquaman was shot in the Delaware River.
Fourth is The Kid Who Would Be King, followed by Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse, Green Book, A Dog's Way Home, Serenity, Escape Room is ninth, and then Dragon Ball Super Broly. Was number 10 at the bottom.
It sounds like one of those kinky conventions.
Broly. All right, so it was the SAG Awards last night, and Black Panther took home the night's biggest honor. How about that?
That's the Ensemble Award?
That is, which is equivalent to Best Picture.
Best Picture, yeah.
Yeah. So it was the 25th Annual Screen Actors Guild Awards last night, held at the Shrine Auditorium and Exposition Center in Los Angeles. It was hosted by Megan Mullally of Will & Grace, and actually even better than Will & Grace are the Slingers commercials that
love
they do.
Them. Yes. Love them.
Those are hilarious. She is so sexy in those. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jinx!
Oh, no, it was you and Nick. You looked at me, yeah.
Jinx!
The SAG Awards are often considered the more prestigious than other award shows by the acting community because the awards are voted on by the actors themselves and their peers.
That's why they mean the most.
That would be us. So,
they really, because it's the only award show that taps into what Buzz and the Fart Man from Idaho voted for. Anybody who's in radio is a member of SAG as well.
So. If you're in the union, then you can vote. Rami Malek won Best Actor for his role in Bohemian Rhapsody and, as before, failed to acknowledge ousted director Bryan Singer, who I'll have more on coming up in a little bit, who is also the subject of 4 new sexual assault claims.
So for Rami, that raises his stock. You know, he's won a couple times already, and we'll see what happens with the Oscars.
Glenn Close won Best Actress for her role in The Wife. That's the third or fourth.
I didn't watch it.
I gave it to my parents because I didn't think I'd be interested in it. And then everybody's raving about it. My parents said it was phenomenal.
The biggest prize, Outstanding Performance by Cast in a Motion Picture, which is the equivalent to the Best Picture Award, went to Black Panther. On the TV front, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel pulled off a hat trick, snagged Outstanding Performance by Male and Female Actor in a Comedy Series. That's for both Tony Shalhoub and Rachel Brosnahan, and then also winning for Best Ensemble Cast in a Comedy Series. As I said earlier, Alan Alda was honored by Tom Hanks before he received his SAG Life Achievement Award. Hanks called him a man who has, quote, shown us who we are and who we can be. And Alan reminded his audience, who gave him a standing ovation, let's stay playful, let's have fun, and let's keep searching. It couldn't hurt.
So Alda did that thing, Preston, so there are three guys holding boards up, and he did the roundhouse kick and broke them all.
Yeah. No way.
During his demonstration. No, he was, the crowd loves him, and he's a good speaker, and he was passionate, and it was really cool.
Couple other things to point out as far as awards go. Female actor in a supporting role, Emily Blunt, won for A Quiet Place.
I'm glad that film got some acknowledgement.
Yes.
And she deserved it, too, because, I mean, you know, think about the whole scene where she's trying to stay quiet while giving birth.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Do we have a couple of clips here?
We have a clip of her, yes.
Yeah, let's play that.
Thanking her husband.
Case, is that over?
I'm hooking you up. Yes, here it is.
All right, here we go.
I am going to share this completely with my husband, John Krasinski, because the entire experience of doing this with you has completely pierced my heart directly. You are a stunning filmmaker. I'm so lucky to be with you and to have done this film with you. Thank you for giving me the part. You would have been in major trouble if you hadn't, so you didn't really have an option, but thank you.
I love both of them.
So do I.
Her and him, I think that's a great pairing.
Wouldn't you love to swing with them?
Oh, my God. I would swing all over the place. And then let's play Black Panther.
Yeah.
There we go. Hang on a second here. As they win the Best Cast, here we go.
To be young, gifted, and black, we all know what it's like.
Is this Chadwick speaking?
Chadwick speaking, yes.
To be told that there is not a place for you to be featured, yet you are young, gifted, and black. We know what it's like to be told to say there's not a screen for you to be featured on, a stage for you to be featured on. We know what it's like to be the tail and not the head. We know what it's like to be beneath and not above. And that is what we went to work with every day. Because we knew not that we would be around during award season or that it would make $1 billion, but we knew that we had something special.
Did he say Wakanda Forever at any point during that? He should have.
He did not.
Wakanda Forever.
I'm sure they always do. I mean, you know, it's their bread and butter there. But it was cool.
Yeah, nice. And then one other clip. Actor Jeffrey Owens.
Yeah.
You remember him?
Did he win for something?
In
the beginning, they did basically what it means to be an actor, what their actor moment is.
Oh, that's right.
And they went through a number of people talking about the importance of it.
And he was from The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
And you remember he was found bagging groceries at a Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's, because what happened was when Cosby started all the stuff started coming out. Networks started dropping the syndicated Cosby Show, and that killed a ton of money for him.
All right, so this is him.
So somewhere in the middle of the road of my life, I found myself in the dark wood of unemployment and debt. But instead of switching careers like the same person, I took a job at a local Trader Joe's to see if I could hang in there with my career. And It's actually worked out pretty well. I'm Jeffrey Owens, and I am an actor.
All right, there you go. A couple other things to point out besides Emily Blunt, male actor in a supporting role went to Mahershala Ali for Green Book. Outstanding performance, male actor in a drama TV series. Jason Bateman won that for Ozark.
Yeah.
Female actor in a drama series went to Sandra Oh for Killing Eve. And ensemble in a drama series went to This Is Us. Kathy, you watch that, right?
Yes.
Yep. So they won the whole thing. So there you go, the SAG Awards, and still waiting for the Oscars to come along eventually.
That's the big one. That's the final shot.
Prince Philip, Queen Elizabeth II's husband, sent an apology letter to the woman he injured in a car crash earlier this month. Shortly after getting dragged in the media for not reaching out to her. Right after the incident, the victim, Emma Fairweather, called Philip highly insensitive and inconsiderate after he was photographed less than... Jesus. Less than...
I need one of those sirens.
When he was photographed, when he was photographed less than 2 days later,
yeah,
behind the wheel of a replacement car without a seatbelt on. The Queen was also photographed driving without a seatbelt soon after the crash. The 97-year-old Duke penned a letter to Fairweather telling her he was very contrite about his part in the crash.
An extraordinary exculpatory life of this most sad situation.
With her broken wrist, he blamed the winter sun on the incident just outside of Sandringham Estate. Philip wrote, "I would like you to know how very sorry I am for my part in the accident at the Bibingley Crossings."
Bing, bing, bong, bong.
At the Bibingley Crossroads.
Bing, bing, bong, bong.
I have been across that crossing any number of times, and I know very well the amount of traffic that uses that
it
main
was at
road.
At that time when I saw what appeared to be a large, upright ape creature.
It was a bright, sunny day.
He's using every excuse he can get.
And about 3 PM, the sun was low over the wash. In other words, the sun was shining over the main road. In normal conditions...
He's explaining it to us like radiant. It's sun blindness.
Conditions I would have no difficulty in seeing traffic coming from the Dursingham direction, but I can only imagine that I failed to see the car coming, and I am very contrite about the consequences. He said, "I was somewhat shaken after the incident, but I was greatly relieved that none of you were seriously hurt. As a crowd was beginning to gather, I was advised to return to Sandringham House by a local police officer. I have since learned that you suffered a broken arm, and I'm deeply sorry about this injury.
And now I eagerly await your apology.
I wish you a speedy..." "A speedy recovery from a very distressing experience. Signed, yours sincerely, Philip." Fairweather was reportedly buoyed by Philip's outreach, telling reporters that it was really nice and she was pleasantly surprised because of the personalized nature.
He didn't write this letter. I mean, he wrote the top and then he signed the bottom and then somebody else wrote the letter. You can clearly see that. And his handwriting is atrocious.
It is horrible. But then again, you have to stop and think about what, first off, he's older. I'm sure he's got probably 9 different types of arthritis. But also, you know, the whole idea of using seatbelts, a lot of the vehicles that they're transported in don't, you know, they've never used seatbelts for probably the majority of their lives.
Yeah, yeah. And
they did a lot of driving before there were seatbelts.
Yeah, and probably when they are being driven, there may not be any traffic around.
Could you imagine the butler putting him in one of those seats, like a child seat? "Are you in there? Oh, snug as a bug in a rug.
Let's get measuring. I shall play with these various noisemakers and spinny things."
All right, moving on. Model agencies that work with supermodels Bella Hadid, Hailey Bieber, and Emily Ratajkowski may be forced to reveal details about the payments convicted fraudster Billy McFarland made them during their lead up to the 2017 the failed Fire Festival.
Have you watched either of the documentaries that are available?
Nah, I'm not really interested in it, but have you watched them?
I want to watch the Netflix one. It's supposedly really good.
Yeah, it keeps popping up in my queue, and I'm like,
I was too busy watching Ted Bundy.
Yeah, that was another one. Yeah. But also The Punisher is taking up a lot of my time as well. But I keep looking. I'm like, man, do I really feel like investing my time into this? I don't know.
They say it's pretty wild.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Emily was at the Sixers game last week.
She was, yeah.
Kendall Jenner herself will be subpoenaed. All told, McFarlane paid a reported $11.3 million in the weeks and months leading up to the festival. He raised a reported $26 million from investors for the festival show. And now bankruptcy court is trying to determine where the funds went. Earlier this month, the judge signed off on subpoenas for the talent agencies. And on Friday, the trustees overseeing Fire Media asked a judge for a new round of subpoenas for models and influencers. The trustee, Gregory Messer, is looking into a $250,000 payment to Jenner in January 2017. Several months later, she posted an Instagram promoting the festival, which she said would include performances from members of Kanye West's Good Music crew. Jenner has deleted the post and distanced herself from the festival.
Steve, I haven't watched either one either, and I'll probably watch the one on Netflix just because it's easier.
Yeah.
But do you know why they had to make two of them or why they did?
I just think it was happenstance that two documentary crews decided to use it as subject matter. But from what I understand, the Netflix one got better access.
Marissa?
So from what I've heard, the Netflix one is created by the F. Jerry guy, the guy that has that Instagram account.
Oh, yeah.
Who was actually in charge of social media for the Fire Festival.
There
so
you go.
He has access to a lot of footage that's in there, but it's also panned a little bit to make him and everybody that he cares about look like good people, whereas the Hulu one has nothing to do with the event itself, but they paid Billy McFarlane to be in it.
Okay, so they
each
won't...
one has a different side.
Gotcha, okay. And that F. Jerry guy is dating Emily Ratajkowski, right? Or Ratajkowski, whatever you say?
Oh,
I don't know how you
say he's like a big, hairy...
I think the boyfriend girlfriend.
Is that the Fat Jewish?
Who is F. Jerry?
Oh, I'm getting confused. Fat Jewish and F. Jerry are two different people, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
She was at the Sixers game with the Fat Jewish.
Thank you.
Who is this guy I know, President?
He's going to be speaking another language. I have no idea who you guys are.
The Fat Jewish
about.
Is a Instagram guy who's got, looks like 10 million followers. And
all right. Good for him.
Yep. I don't know what else he does other than puts up funny content on Instagram.
He has a rosé.
Fat Jewish has a rosé.
Oh, that might be F. Jerry that has a rosé.
Oh,
they're pretty much people.
In that most quiet of evenings, I like to pull out a bottle of Fat Jewish.
Yeah.
They're just Instagram famous. All they do is copy other people's content and put it up, and people love it.
Hallelujah.
You see Matthew McConaughey sitting by an infinity pool.
His, by the way,
so warm and nice.
Nick, which one is this? Is the Fat
Jewish? This is the Fat Jewish, yeah.
Yeah, in his bio, it says, my mom effed Shel Silverstein in 1971.
Okay.
All right. So anyhow, those people have that going on. Top Chef alum Fatima Ali has died. This is horrible. She was 29 years old, had a battle with bone cancer.
I actually had no idea she was sick. And then to see the pictures of her just prior to her death, it's really wild.
Ali was diagnosed with Ewing's sarcoma in 2017. And then last year she was declared cancer-free, but then found out in September the cancer had returned. She was given 1 year to live. Her last post on Instagram came on the 10th of this month. She said, I know it's been ages since I posted, and most may have figured out why I am sick, and unfortunately I'm getting sicker. She wrote, right now all I need are prayers, prayers that are simple. I hope, because a wish is putting on too much responsibility on the other, that you will somehow find forgiveness in your big heart for whenever I must have hurt you. I thank you a million times over for when you have given me joy. I'll try to keep everyone updated in the best that I possibly can. And unfortunately,
terrible.
It was too much for her. Yeah, so she passed away over the weekend. That is sad news. Kate Beckinsale has been hospitalized. She has a ruptured ovarian cyst.
I saw this. Apparently, that stuff is incredibly painful.
Well, that's what she said.
Yeah.
The 45-year-old actress shared her woes on Instagram. She said, turns out a ruptured ovarian cyst really hurts, and morphine makes me cry. She captioned the post, so thankful to everyone who looked after me. So she's going through that.
I mean, honestly, we've talked about this before, but the amount of work and maintenance and potential issues with that plumbing.
Oh, man.
God bless you.
Yeah, women. Absolutely. Yeah. We had touched on Bohemian Rhapsody earlier because Rami Malek won another award with the SAG Awards last night. Director Bryan Singer's career may be dead due to a new round of sexual assault allegations against him, according to Page Six. Bohemian Rhapsody grossed $800 million, garnered 5 Oscar nominations, but now producers are unwilling to work with him.
What did I say? That it was only a matter of time before they would, whether, I mean, obviously, he's owed due process. That's a given. But a company can be a liability for a company to hire somebody who's under this kind of scrutiny.
Well, and you can totally understand where they might go, let's put everything on hold for a while.
Listen, Charles Manson, I really like you. Now, well, let's see how the court thing plays out.
That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to bail on you altogether, but you got to wait and say, we need to see how this goes.
Yeah.
You
know? So, yeah.
Because I thought they had gone ahead with him for Red Sonja, right?
That was the word.
That was the word.
And now that's over. Yeah. But we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. John Cena is set to star in Jason Bateman's upcoming Netflix action comedy, which is as yet still untitled. Bateman will also appear. The film will be a reunion for Bateman and Game Night writer Mark Perez, and the story will follow a family trapped in an old movie studio. When the sets come to life, apparently, the family's stuck in some kind of a time warp.
So did you see Game Night?
Something like that. I did.
It was kind of cute.
It was cute.
Yeah.
Bateman currently be seen in Netflix's Ozark, and he just won an award at the SAG Awards last night.
Was there a big wrestling event last night? Did John Cena do something good?
Ooh, I don't know.
Okay.
Did he do something good?
I was watching Rent and jumping back and forth. To
Royal
the SAG
Rumble
Awards.
Was last night, Case.
Was okay, yeah. Because just things were popping up into my Twitter feed.
Yep. Prince Philip was there.
Well, no, he was... I don't know if he was, but
part of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. No, there was something
credibility to this.
There was a Brock Lesnar thing and a John Cena thing, and I just didn't know exactly what.
Tonight on Showtime, a Brock Lesnar thing.
Nick's looking up the info to see.
I don't know what I'm looking up.
Okay. Yeah, me neither.
Just look up Brock Lesnar C thing.
Was there a John Cena thing last night? Dang.
Is that like
and see if there's this thing in the compass that tells time and a stock.
All right, so let me ask you, is it spoiler alert worthy? Like if something happened in the world of WWE last night, like a Royal Rumble?
That's a sport, you know? It's entertainment, but I mean, like you can't say the next day.
Spoiler alert
on the Super Bowl next Monday, you know?
Like, spoiler alert, Ric Flair got upset.
He's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's right. You can't say, spoiler alert, you know, so-and-so won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So,
but this is... Is it a sport or not a sport?
Oh, Jesus. Sport or not a sport? Okay. It's sports entertainment.
Yes.
Is what they refer to it.
It's okay. You can reveal if something happened. Did something happen?
Nothing happened. It was the Royal Rumble.
Wait, Marissa's got her hand up. She's Marissa. Our WWE expert.
Yes. Yeah. I'm Googling and found out that, I'll start from the bottom, Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins eliminated Braun Strowman to win the Men's Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar defeated Finn Balor.
Was Big Jew there?
Listeners that know a lot better than are calling.
Jewish.
Oh, there was something about Ronda Rousey defeated Sasha Banks.
All right.
To retain her Raw Women's title.
John Cena did not appear at the Rumble because of an injury.
And
in his stead, Angela Lansbury showed up.
And Shane McMahon defeated The Miz.
Whoa!
Those are the only names I know.
A lot of those guys we had in the studio.
And they're all good guys.
Pretty bunch cool. Of
them. He's on the Real World.
All right. Yeah, The Miz was, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. James Wan's Aquaman is changing the DC Universe this weekend. It is set to eclipse Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight Rises as the all-time top-grossing film featuring a DC comic superhero.
Isn't that wild that Aquaman would take that place?
You
saw it, yes?
I did. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
But it was a bit much for me.
A little too fantastical? A
little bit too much, yeah. There's apparently there's millions of people under the ocean.
Yeah, that's the impression that I got. Like,
that's what
like,
it seems like anyway.
What it appears, Presh, is that every time you drop a line in the water, you should be pulling up somebody from that city.
Yeah, an Atlantean. Wan's underwater epic.
Wan.
Am I saying it correctly?
No, you're right.
Or is it Wan?
Go with
Villanova. Wan's underwater epic closed in on $1.07 billion last weekend, $17 million short of the record-making Dark Knight Rises. Warner Brothers is reportedly gearing up to make Aquaman 2 and is currently in talks with Wan on his salary. His rep tells Deadline that he is taking a break from talks until he finds a decent script. But they're planning on doing that. I also heard an update on Wonder Woman 3 over the weekend, too. They said that when they eventually get to it, that it is going to be a contemporary piece, meaning they'll bring it up because this one's going to be in the 1980s.
Yeah.
And then the next one should come sync up with current time.
So I've watched, it's on all the time, Justice League. And I love it. Yeah, I come in every time whenever it's on. I watch it. I love seeing all three of them. There's a couple of shots in the movie where there's not all three. Well, you have the three mains, and then you have, you know, the Flash and Aquaman. Mm-hmm. And Cyborg standing side by side. It's cool.
I enjoyed it. I watched some of it yesterday.
Yep.
And then I didn't know this was going to happen, but Saban Films and Universal have picked up the rights to Kevin Smith's Jay and Silent Bob reboot, the sequel to 2001's Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I had no idea that they were planning on doing this. Jason Mewes and Smith are returning as the stars, along with several of the other original cast members from the Miramax cult hit.
Kevin Smith looks nothing. He looks like Kevin Smith as a 16-year-old these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with all
the weight he's lost. He looks incredibly young. He looks great.
Yeah, shooting begins February 25th, the one-year anniversary of Smith's severe heart attack.
Yeah.
So
you sent me that article, Preston, and I read it over the weekend about basically the creation of Good Will Hunting, and Kevin Smith was the linchpin in getting that done. That movie would not have been made had it not been for him, because he took the script into Harvey Weinstein, of all people, and then Harvey greenlighted it.
Yeah, yeah. He's had his hands in a lot of stuff.
So is Harvey.
You're right. He did have his hands in a lot.
I just touched my pee-pee.
God. Let's see. One last story. A sequel to Warner Brothers' Pikachu.
Pikachu!
Is in the works. 3 months before the film takes a bow.
Is it going to be called Pikachu?
No, it'll be called Detective Pikachu.
That's stupid.
Oren Uziel is set to write the film, which, like the original, is based on the video and card game in which players act as trainers who collect cute but powerful monsters called Pokemon.
This is where he investigates the Black Dahlia murder, right?
Oh, maybe. The Ryan Reynolds top line original bows on May 10th, by the way.
Wouldn't it be great if you stuck Pikachu in the middle of like a hard-boiled L.A. noir crime?
Wait, Ryan Reynolds is in this?
He's the Pikachu.
Voice. Yeah, he's the voice of Pikachu.
All right.
All right, let's do clips. All right, Miss Bala.
What?
Yeah, Miss Bala.
There's a pageant in this building?
Miss Bala, B-A-L-A. I assume it's pronounced Bala.
Well, Kathy would win.
Bala, now we need to have a Miss Bala.
Yes. So Miss Bala follows a woman played by Jane the Virgin star Gina Rodriguez, who trains to take down a drug cartel after they kidnap her friend, her co-star, Ismael Cruz Cordova, who plays gang leader Lino, talks about working with the actress in this clip.
Even if it's the most daunting scene, if I'm doing it with Gina, I know it's going to be okay. I could have not have asked for someone better to share this experience with.
I don't give a f***.
Miss Bala premieres in theaters on Friday. Here's the next clip. I Am the Night is a TNT miniseries in which a young girl who was given up by her birth mother sets out to uncover the secrets of her past and ends up following a sinister trail. In this clip, Chris Pine, who plays a burnt-out reporter following the girl's story, talks about how the characters develop in this dark world. I think this is your Black
Dahlia. This is your Black Dahlia story.
There we go.
It's in many ways about these human beings coming to terms with their past, with their demons, with these things that want to drag them under and define them for the rest of their lives. And they're trying to get out of that muck and to create a fiction, so to speak, for their future that they can make their own truths.
I don't think I want to see it.
I want to see it. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, it does, I guess. I Am the Night premieres tonight, 9 o'clock on TNT, if you are interested. And there you go. Those are the entertainment stories I have for you this morning. We got money to give away, $1,000 to go fund yourself. That's coming up around 8 o'clock. We have an announcement later this morning, too, about a show in our vicinity. And we have a couple of guests stopping by. Don Jameson is coming in, along with Matt Dorito, who's the bassist for the band Pop Evil. And we'll spend some time with them. So we have a few things to get to today on your Monday morning, dear friend. We will take a quick break, come back, and get into all of it. So make sure you stay with us through the course of today's program. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve
on 93.3 WMMR.
I saw this story over the week and thought this is kind of interesting. Maybe this is a good time to bring it up because it's parents might still be taking their kids into school this morning. By the way, were you bus riders? Did you get a ride to school from your parents? How
walkers?
Did it work out?
I would say walkers and a bus rider throughout my school career. However, periodically, my mom or my dad would take me to special school functions.
Okay. I was a bus rider for most of my time, but there was, I think it might have been when I was in middle school that that my dad would give me a ride on his way into work. He'd drop me off at school.
Which
is
cool.
Which is always nice. It's riding the bus, man. It's a big vehicle full of zombies in the morning, and so it was never really that fun. But I did get rides, and I'll explain why in this story in a moment.
I always got a ride to school, whether it was from my parents or when my friends started to drive.
Right.
I took the bus occasionally on the way home. I was a cheerleader, so like you'd have to take that late bus home. But I lived right up the street from the school, and we did get bus service, but it took so long if I was on the bus that it was like, you know, I'd get home a half an hour early if somebody, you know, drove me home. Yeah.
Well, I was always at the outer edges. When they would reset the district, I would always be the furthest out. So I would get the bus, and then one year they decided, you're not getting the bus. So, you know, it was always a long trek to the school.
And I always feel like nothing good ever happens on the bus.
A lot of bad can happen on the bus. Yeah, what?
No, not true. A lot of great things happen on the bus. I mean, that's where the fights start, you know? If you're going to see a fight at the bus stop afterwards.
But if you happen to be the one that's getting punched in the face, that's not necessarily
not so good.
I guess you're right.
Well, anyhow, the reason I bring it up is Tennessee State Representative Antonio Parkinson is gaining national headlines after he proposed a measure to enforce a dress code on parents in the state when visiting public schools.
Like so, they can't come in their pajamas?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think this is if they get out of the car.
Right.
And come into the school. And at first I thought this is kind of silly. But then I heard a little bit about what this guy has heard from his constituents.
Right.
And I'm sure it's happened a bit around here and everywhere else as well. But in an interview on Today, he said that he realized that it was time for parents to adhere to a set of rules. After hearing a number of horror stories from educators and constituents about how parents dress and behaved when visiting the state's public schools. And he said people wearing next to nothing, people wearing shirts or tattoos with expletives, people coming onto a school campus and cursing the principal or the teacher out, these things happen regularly.
Yeah, those are obvious. You know, if you're going to start cursing out teachers and stuff like that, that's horrific.
Well, I'm thinking the kid missed the bus and it's like, hurry up, get in the car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then for whatever reason, they have to go into the school and sign the kid in or whatever.
Dressed for that trip. Right, right. That I think that's probably the majority of what he's focusing on.
Yeah, he says a principal I talked to told me a lady came into the office with her sleepwear on and some of her body parts hanging out.
No.
I said, you got children coming down the hall in a line and they can't, you don't want them to see this, you know, which I totally could see that happening. You know, I told my wife, I'm like, yeah, I could see your mom driving you to school in her nightgown.
Oh, yeah.
And she goes, yeah, but you wouldn't get out of the car.
There's the difference. Sometimes you have to get out of the car.
Uh-huh.
So if you're sort of prepared, you know, he's not asking that they wear, you know, a black tie. To the deal, just cover up if you can.
But I know that Rochelle has dealt with enough times of the kids missing the bus in the morning, which I was always by. I'd be like, how do you miss the bus? Get your ass up and get outside and catch the damn bus.
We would
it's
stand
not that hard.
We'd be to the bus stop like a half hour prior to it getting there, just to make sure. That was the edict from mom and dad to make sure we were there, so we didn't miss the bus.
Even on those cold days.
On the cold freaking days.
Yeah. So you could see the bus stop from my house. I guess I did take the bus occasionally because remember there was the time when my dad came. I forgot my lunch, and my dad came onto the bus in his robe with like his messy whatever was left of his hair at that time.
You forgot your lunch, honey.
Yep, and I was like, oh my God, no.
Well, I told you the story. We were going on a field trip on a Saturday. It was at elementary school, and we were going to go see It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. And we pull up, and my dad lets us out. And then he forgot to give my younger brother something. Where, you know, he was going to the same school at the time. And my dad loved to wear a winter jacket with shorts and work boots. And he looked like the absolute essence of a flasher. And he comes walking up, and I'm like, oh, no! And you see kids looking. We're about to be flashed.
What year were you? How old were you?
Fourth grade.
Oh, that's just the worst.
Where's your dad's pants?
Yeah, my dad doesn't like to wear pants in the winter.
Oh, God.
Should be a fun field trip, guys.
If I were to tell you that there are shorts on underneath that coat, would it help?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to an anonymous teacher on the line. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to bother you all at work.
It's all good, ma'am. What's up?
So the second you brought up that story, you touched the nerve. That I think myself and most teachers feel. I actually agree with that proposal in terms of that parents should be dressed as presentable, because I'm going to be honest with you, Preston, it is impossible for any teacher to take somebody seriously and any parent seriously when they come in dressed like they just rolled out of bed or like they had a 3 a.m. party.
Okay,
right. Because back in my time when I was in school, my parents, whenever they had to come to school, no matter what the time of day was, they came dressed presentable. Okay, and it's just absolutely impossible. I've had meetings with my principals where after the parents left, that we just laughed because of the fact of how they were dressed. And that it is impossible. It's just impossible.
Give us an idea of the most outlandish things you've seen.
So, what haven't I seen? Let's see. The string spaghetti top coming in with the long PJs and the hair and curlers was probably my favorite. The parent walks in, and I have to do everything I can not to smile,
right.
despite the fact that it was a semi-serious situation.
Right.
And the parent leaves, and the principal looks at me and says, "You can go back to your class. I can't take this seriously."
Right.
So yes, you know, and that's the thing. And what touches my nerve as a teacher is that by doing that, you're not setting a good example for your child as to what is acceptable or not. And honestly, I've had principals, we've had parents that were not allowed to enter the building, some of our buildings, because of that.
Okay, so, because of attire.
Yes, because of attire. Because we have a dress code for our students, and we also, you know, there's an expectation for the parents, to be just as presentable.
I understand that. If you're going to make the kids do it, then the parents should adhere to that well.
And it's not so much. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if to throw on just regular street clothing, acceptable street clothing, you don't show up in a spaghetti string pajama top and, you know, in the hair. Listen, you understand people get caught behind on their schedule, but it doesn't take that much to get presentable fairly quickly.
Right. Throw a hat on.
Yeah. A muumuu.
Yeah, even if you just show up in jeans and you know, a nice top of some, that's at least a lot better than showing up the way some of these parents show up today.
All right. Thanks for the call. Yeah. I appreciate it. Somebody texts it in and says, I didn't think anybody still used curlers. Do they, Kathy?
Yeah. I know some people that still put curlers in their hair.
Okay.
That sleep in them, yeah.
I use the small ones for my pubes because I like that sort of that look.
A gal we used to work with would occasionally come to work wearing curlers. Leanne Curtis.
Really? I
remember being at a jock meeting and Leanne came with curlers. I'm like, you really have curlers in your hair, man.
Well, the point of curlers is to curl your hair for when you leave the house.
Right.
I know. Not to go out.
She worked at night, so she came in for a jock meeting, which was earlier in the day. So that was early for her, but I remember cracking up. But she brought in barbecue chicken pizza, which was really nice.
Did she have like a kerchief over her head, you know?
With
the dark glasses?
I don't remember that. Here's a text that says, my mom tells me a story that for my kindergarten back to school night back in 1991, a dad showed up without his shirt on. It was Northeast Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's a level of casualness that I just think is inappropriate to go walk into the school for the for an event shirtless. No.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Let me go to some other calls. I'm going to go to Amy. Hello, Amy. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? I'm sorry. I'm trying to take you off a speakerphone here, and my phone is not cooperating.
That's all right. We can hear you just fine, Amy.
Okay. So my mother was not a morning person, and so it took her a while after having her coffee and all to get going in the morning, and it always ended up she'd drive us to school because we were running late. We only lived about 3 blocks from the high school. And so often she would drive us in her pajamas and her robe. Now, she would never have gone into the high school that way, But one time, the car broke down just about a half a block from the high school, so she had to walk home in her robe and her nightgown. And she was fairly horrified. That didn't keep her from doing it again, but...
What you're saying reminds me there was an episode of Thanks, the Goldbergs Amy. Where Beverly shows up. She's going to exact revenge on her daughter. And she shows up with the full curlers and the whole thing. And then, no!
Yeah. You know what's funny about that? About her mom having to walk home in her robe and pajamas. It's not like, you know, you've got skin hanging out. You're exposed or anything like that. But you just look stupid. You look stupid in a robe.
Yeah.
Walking around outside, you know, whereas we think you should either be sitting, leisurely in your chaise lounge at home.
Or
by the pool at a spa or something like that.
Yes. And if it's in the wind, first off, 3 blocks doesn't seem that far to walk to class, but whatever. So they're getting driven. If it's in the winter, throw on a coat like my dad did.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to Mary. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey.
So I'm not the teacher. My sister is. But when I heard this, I had to call in because I have a favorite. Basically, I look forward to her stories about the teacher-student or the parent-teacher conferences every year.
Okay.
And the absolute best was last year. She had a mother of a bit of a problem child come in for the conference. The woman proceeded to light up a cigarette in the middle of their conversation in the classroom.
In the classroom, okay.
In the classroom. My sister told her she couldn't do that, so she put it away, tucked it into her tank top, and proceeded to pull a sugar glider out of her bra and asked my sister if she wanted to hold it.
Oh, my God.
That's like a little tiny flying squirrel.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was in her bra?
What the hell?
That's awesome.
I don't know why this poor child has problems.
Yes! I think that may be the answer right there.
Mom's got animals in her bra.
We had a sugar glider in the studio. Did the woman not carry that thing in her bra, if you recall?
Yes.
No, I'm asking you guys. What if it was the same chick?
I don't remember. She had the sugar glider in her bra here, the visit in the studio?
That's kind of where hang out.
Interesting. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it. You don't mind if I smoke in here, do you? You imagine that?
The sugar glider likes it. What sugar glider? Well, let me show you. It's in my bra. And I have a ferret in my ass.
Let me go to Alan. Hey, Alan. Good morning.
What am I talking about? I'm talking about the need to eat pizza.
Nicely done.
Alan!
All right, thank you, Alan. What's up, bud?
Hey, so since I'm Filipino, and my dad immigrated to America in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
So he likes to believe he's still in the Philippines.
All right.
So no matter where we go, when we were younger, he would wear the thinnest flip-flops with the ugliest feet, the dirtiest tank top, the dirtiest jean shorts, and no matter where he dropped us off, he would force us to give him a kiss, going, mwah, mwah, well, where's my kiss?
Oh, man.
At what age, up to what age, or was it throughout all of your schooling that you were forced to give daddy a kiss?
Oh, it still happens now.
There you go. And would this happen in front of other students as he's dropping you off at school and everything?
It's in front of students, in front of my friends, in front of my girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
Love you, daddy. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it's very nice. Thanks, but it can be a little.
It can be. My daughter has started shying away from giving me a kiss. Aww. If her friends are around, I know it hurts. And her.
You know what? Start kissing her friends.
Yeah.
Show her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't want to kiss me?
Who's the one in the pigtails? Come over here.
Let me go to this anonymous caller on the line. Hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay.
All right. What's up?
I am a teacher. I've seen a lot of crazy outfits, but my favorite are the shirts that have sayings on them. So there was a dad who came to pick his daughter up from school, and his shirt said, "Today's just one of those days where I feel like pimping hoes and selling dope."
And he wears that to school.
Hey, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
Dad, could you wear your pimp shirt to school? You'd make me very proud.
Your
either your
hose.
Pimp or your drug shirt would be great.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know.
What's that? Wear your Beaver Patrol hat.
I will. I've certainly got some shirts that are not quite as to that extent.
Yeah.
But have some fun sayings on them. But and I will definitely do a check if I happen to be going to a family event or a school event or something like that, I will check and make sure that I'm wearing something that's appropriate or not.
For like parent-teacher conferences, I remember, all you know, first off, it'd be like, you know, the mom and dad are going to school to talk to the teachers, and but they would get dressed up. They would get, or at least they would get, you know, they would have on nice clothing. My dad would probably wear like a suit jacket or something or whatever, and go in. You know, the idea of bringing your sugar glider in your underwear that never occurred to them.
Listen to these texts coming in. These are parents. I mean, these are teachers that have parents come by. I had a parent come to a conference in pajamas and was drinking coffee from a baby bottle.
It's just...
What?
Stop it.
And I believe it. I believe that that happened.
A baby bottle. Okay. Here's one that says, had a parent come to a meeting with a very inappropriate pair of shoes. One shoe had the word F written on the front of it. Another one had F on the front of it as well. Okay.
Off.
I'm sorry. Yeah. F and off.
F off. Right.
I mean, are they telling the teacher that? I mean, was that the point they were trying to make? Wow. Case, I know you had flirted with the idea of doing some things to embarrass your kids. Just fun. Yeah. Fun-wise, for the bus, right? Or was it at dropping them off at school?
Wait,
or picking them up?
The bus? No, you know, listen, I had that hairy jacket.
Yes.
And it was a fun jacket.
This is like the jacket that Vin Diesel wore in that Triple X sequel.
Movie. Yeah, yeah. And
like, looks like an animal pelt.
But listen, I mean, I wore it because it was A, warm, B, it was fun.
Yeah.
And then my daughter, my oldest daughter, she was embarrassed by it, so...
Of course, you're
aware. No. I stopped.
Oh,
stopped.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, there are things that, as my kids got older, they got embarrassed by things. Like, my son doesn't like it when I pull up to places, like a basketball game, or school or whatever, and the radio is blaring because I like to listen to my music loud.
Right.
So whenever I pull into a parking lot, I have to turn the music down. I don't wear
all right,
the...
All right.
but that jacket, I... found out that it bothered her. I did it one more time just to get my last dig in, and then I don't wear it anymore.
Preston,
when she's around.
Talking about having your daughter start to, where the parents sort of get shunted off now, where you're in that not cool range.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did you talk to her about it? Or are you just going to, you know, is it something to even bring up?
I think I said one time, I'm like, oh, you don't want to kiss me in front of your friend. Okay. No, it's like that.
Just go cry in my room.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I haven't really... I haven't really spoken to her about it, but, you know.
Do you remember when you, I mean, so you're being, I assume that you would always kiss your dad when he drove you to school.
Right here, right on the lips.
Oh, God.
Come in for the real thing.
I don't remember. I don't remember when I stopped doing that with my parents.
I remember when it like wrapped back around and I was like, I don't care what people think now. You know what I mean? Like as I got older, like in high school and, you know, I would give my mom and dad a hug before I left.
Oh, hang on a second here. Somebody went to high school with Casey has a question. I'm going to go to Bill. Hi. Bill, you're on the air. Hey. Good morning.
Morning, everybody.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Yeah, Casey, I went to Code O'Hara. You were a freshman and I was a senior.
Okay, cool.
Do you remember John Brown?
Who? Oh, yeah, Mr. Brown. I had him for homeroom my senior year.
Yeah, I had him for 3 years. For English and French.
Okay. That's pretty cool, man. Awesome.
And we used to smoke weed together.
You and the teacher would smoke weed together?
In high school?
In the classroom.
No way. I don't buy it. Not even for a second, I don't buy that.
I swear on my father's grave.
Do you know how bad that stuff smells? Is your father dead? I mean, I swear, like, you can't get away with that. You can't.
Casey, when we would, remember Dialogues?
No.
You don't remember Dialogues, the little magazine that you came up with?
No, but okay. I don't know where this conversation is going.
I'm just fascinated with this conversation. Yeah.
It just made a flashback in my head that we smoked weed with John Brown, and then from that moment on, we called smoking weed John Brown.
Do you want a John Brown?
Is he any way that this teacher's still alive?
Oh, yeah.
Is he?
Yeah,
he was old, man. He was old.
Do you think that he would remember it?
Let me see.
Did I smoke weed with kids? I'm thinking about it.
I'm with Casey. I find it really hard to believe. However, I'd love to find out if it's true.
He had a freaking teepee in his backyard.
Are you losing me here?
Did he have a teepee in his backyard?
I've never been to his backyard.
No, we can't say that.
I just, yeah, he definitely was an eccentric kind of guy, and I really liked him. I never had him.
He was the best English/French teacher I ever had.
Right. I never had him for class. I just had him for homeroom.
Anyway.
But just how, you can't do that. You can't smoke pot in the school.
But anyway, Bill, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Not even a little bit.
We weren't talking about smoking weed with teachers. Yeah. We were talking about people wearing embarrassing things.
Well, what was the teacher?
By the way, I had sex with my homeroom teacher.
Yeah.
Like 9 times we were doing roofies.
Thanks, Bill. What?
Okay.
That guy went to Cardinal O'Hara?
Hey, listen,
of course he
all
did.
Types, man. Hey, okay. All types.
That was Principal Jenkins.
Hey, can we talk to, like, one of the doctors that I graduated with that went to O'Hara? Anything along those lines?
Or... Yeah, there's Dr. Love is on line 7.
Let me go to Donna. Hey, Donna, good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Donna. What do you want to tell us?
Well, as a teacher, it's not just the clothes that crack you up. It's the entourage they bring in, like the baby strollers, the bottles, and every other kid.
Right.
Well, we had a mom come in, and she had on those booty cut shorts.
Okay.
And you know, we're trying to have a meeting, and there's like 4 of us in the meeting table, and the baby drops the bottle, and she stands up and bends over, and her just ass is just like hanging out.
Just hanging out of her booty shorts.
So how austere were these booty shorts?
Oh, my God. It was just awful. You can't take a person seriously like that. And then I think you're sitting down in another chair a student's going to sit in, and I'm thinking, wow, I can't take you seriously.
Like,
wow.
Like, wouldn't you think, I'm going into the school to meet with a teacher, maybe I'll leave the booty shorts here, you know?
Yeah, you know.
Please tell me that this was Pensbury High School.
Thank you, Donna. Hang on. There's another caller here on the line. Let me go to George. Hey, George, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what?
Hey, I know John Brown. He is definitely still alive.
Okay. And did you go to Cardinal O'Hara?
I most certainly did.
Okay. And did you smoke pot?
To say,
go ahead.
I smoked pot in a classroom. Yes, I did. Not with John Brown. It was Mr. Adams.
Another teacher?
What? All the teachers in Cardinal O'Hara smoking pot with the kids.
The math teacher?
Yes.
Okay,
no
so
way.
How
Mr.
many
Adams did not smoke pot. No
how many
way.
Teachers throughout the day were you smoking pot with?
What is going on at O'Hara?
Listen, I know Mr. Adams. There's no freaking way Mr. Adams smoked pot. He sold it to Mr. Brown.
Mr. Adams did not. What I'm trying to tell you is his classes were completely out of hand. It was an absolute joke being in his class. You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
Remember, it was right at the Indianapolis 500. You went into school, and it's like,
you know, car.
Students, in honor of the Indianapolis 500, today we're going to smoke pot. And when school's over, meet me back at the teepee.
Hang on. Let me talk to George for a second. Hang on a second. So, George, right. Back up just a moment. So, Mr. Adams, you're not saying that he smoked weed with you, but you did, or Mr. Allen, was that his name?
You said Adams, not Allen, right?
Mr. Adams.
Adams, yeah. Okay. But you're saying that you got away with smoking pot in his classroom.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
While he was there?
Absolutely, yeah.
What year is this?
By the way, just for the record, this is all hearsay.
This really happened.
By your thing, but then again, you know, he was doing it in honor of major racing events.
Yeah. What year was this, George?
Class of 73. And this was probably, I think, my sophomore year, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah.
Students, Dover Downs this weekend. Bring heroin with you on Monday.
Listen, guys, honestly, I saw and did a lot in high school of nefarious things, and this does not really surprise me.
To Casey's point, it would be it is such a
pungent
smell. Sure.
But if you're by a window, you might be able to get away with it. George, were you blowing it out the window?
Well, the windows were open. Also, you know, a couple guys were smoking cigarettes. I'm telling you, his classrooms were such a joke. You could do anything. You just get up and walk around while he's trying to teach, and I didn't learn anything. I had it for geometry, and it was I didn't learn anything.
Poor Mr. Adams.
I'm surprised you didn't learn anything in that class. That's weird.
Now there was a guy in middle school, Mr. Davis, and his was like the class you could get away with anything in.
Right,
he had concert T-shirts up on the. He molested a couple of kids.
There you go. There you go.
Kid you not?
There was a guy. I had an English teacher in high school who was one of those. I'm one of you. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think he eventually ended up getting arrested for something.
I was driving behind a car on Saturday, and this car, somebody in that car was clearly smoking pot.
You could smell it.
And yeah. He's in a car that's 50 yards in front of me, and my windows are up. That stuff stinks.
All right.
It was not a skunk, by the way.
I've never told you guys this before, but I smoked with a teacher one time.
No really? Way. In school.
Yeah. Mr. Mumia. Absolutely. Not in school.
Okay.
Not in school.
Was it just after NASCAR race?
What's that?
Was it just after a NASCAR race?
No. It's funny because he would help out the troubled kids. Now, yeah. I was not in his class, but my friend was. And it's funny. It's terrible. But we used to call it... Mumma's Mongoloids. Because he got all the bad students.
Oh, my God.
This was after he was getting ready to leave, and he was...
He was getting to leave the job?
Yeah, he was moving to another state, and I went over to a guy's house, and he was there, and sure enough, we partook.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Can I buy some pot from you?
you'd be surprised at what happens.
None of my teachers... None of my teachers seem to be
the
kind that would smoke pot after the Indianapolis 500.
Here's another Mr. Brown story.
Oh, my God.
By the way, all unsubstantiated.
Hi, Maggie. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up, Maggie?
So my dad smoked pot with Mr. Brown. he did smoke with him in his backyard. He said he has bamboo back there. And I loved Mr. Brown when I went there. He told me he had a barrel full in his backyard when I asked him to smoke with me. He was an awesome dude.
So, Matt, he was an awesome dude. So he had a teepee in his backyard. You can verify that?
I cannot verify that. My dad could, but, I mean, he passed away a few years ago. But Mr. Brown's still around. So, I mean, that guy's never going to die. He's a dinosaur.
Oh, my God. All right, thank you, Maggie. All right, well, these like you guys are saying, this is what these are stories that people are sharing with us, whether they're true or not, I do not know. But
he was one of those guys, though, that you just love. Listen, you go to Catholic.
Of course, you did.
You go to Catholic school, and there are a lot of teachers that crack the whip, and that are very, very strict. And then you have the few, and it's no surprise that this gentleman was an English teacher.
I know
a little bit more eccentric and stuff like that. But there, three of my favorite teachers, or two of my favorite teachers that I ever had, were English teachers. Right?
Yeah.
And he's one of them. And now, I understand why.
Maybe. It was an opium den in the class.
One of my favorite teachers was an English teacher, and he ended up marrying one of the students.
Really?
I found out at my 20th reunion. Yeah, he showed up.
So we had a guy. I remember this guy. He looked like the Aborigine in the Bugs Bunny cartoons. He was a gym teacher. Mm-hmm. It was that right out of the Police song, man. The Lolita song.
Don't stand so close to me. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, this took an interesting turn.
Yeah.
I was just talking about there's a state representative in Tennessee that wants a dress code on parents when they visit public schools.
Any potential for a bill that would fight smoking pot with your teachers
in the classroom? Maybe.
That might be the next level.
But interesting. So thanks for the calls. That was entertaining. Wow. We appreciate it. So I want to take a break because we got to try to hit this as close on time as we can. We have a chance to win $1,000 for the contest called Go Fund Yourself. We will get to that in just a couple of minutes. Our buddy Don Jameson stopping by later this morning. He's bringing a friend with him. We'll take a break, come back with some B-File stories and more. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Cassettes. Celebrating our area's best talent. So tell me who you think about when you hear those songs on the radio. Bringing listening to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword local shots. Cassettes. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks your world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Yeah, before we get to the B-File, Nick, you wanted to make mention of an event, an annual event that you got coming up.
This is the third or fourth year that I've done it. It's the Cupid's Undie Run. It is a lot of fun, and this year it's at World Cafe Live, which is where it was last year, and run is a real loose term. So if you're intimidated by having to get out and run anywhere, don't let that dissuade you from being a part of it. Basically, it's a chance to show up, put on some underwear, and have a good time for a great cause. It's this awful skin disease that it's fighting, and it's called NF, which is neurofibromatosis. I didn't know anything about that disease.
Oh, yeah. It's painful. Highly unpleasant and painful. And yeah.
But the good news, Steve, is that the Cupid's Undie Run has actually helped raise a lot of funds, and they have all these clinical trials going on now. So it really does go for a great cause. But it's February 9th, which is a Saturday. And like I said, World Cafe Live. It starts at noon, goes until about 4, and registration is now open on our website, which is WMMR.com and PrestonandSteve.com. And we'd love to have you be a part of Team WMMR. So check it out on the website and sign up today.
Holding out for good weather for this one, Nick,
yeah.
Because they're, surprisingly, as you've validated, a lot of people you'd want to see in their underwear show up.
Yeah.
And B, it's everyone seems to have a blast.
Yeah, there's a lot of attractive people, and then there's people like me. So yeah, runs the gamut. But, yeah, check it out on the website if you get a chance and sign up. We'd love to have you.
Sounds like fun. Let's do the B-File.
Now, WMMR. Presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, this morning brought to you by Drexel University. Gain confidence in the online classroom. Drexel University's test drive. That's from February 11th through the 15th, and you'll experience what it's like to study online at Drexel. Sign up today at drexel.edu/test drive. There was more to this story that surfaced after the weekend. A St. Louis police officer has been charged with manslaughter in the death of another officer, allegedly by shooting her during a game of Russian roulette.
Oh, no.
These are police officers.
Come on.
Listen, I have a friend who whose friend had some very interesting, who's a St. Louis police officer. That department is a mess.
Is it?
It is. There's all kinds of really weird things going on over there. Caitlin Alex died, 24 years old, while off duty early Thursday morning. Statement says that Officer Nathaniel Hendren shot Alex in the chest while they were handling a revolver. They were handing it back and forth, taking turns pulling the trigger. Hendren, who was on duty at the time of the incident, met Alex at his home, according to the statement from Sergeant Richard Hellmeyer. They were playing with firearms when Hendren produced a revolver, emptied the cylinder, and put one cartridge back in. According to Hellmeyer, Hendren first pointed the gun away and pulled the trigger, but the revolver did not fire. Alex then took the weapon, aimed it at Hendren, and pulled the trigger, but the gun still did not fire. On the third shot, Hendren pulled the trigger while pointing the gun at Alex, and the gun discharged. Alex died from a gunshot wound to the chest.
Come on!
It's insane. They filed charges against Hendren for involuntary manslaughter. The felony carries a sentence of 3 to 10 years in prison.
Were they sober?
These are people who... Yeah, the one guy was on duty. So these are people that fire weapons as part of their job.
Yeah.
And they know exactly what to and what to not do. But clearly, they were being very, very stupid.
This is the preliminary report. I don't think this is what happened.
Okay. Hendren's partner, who had not yet been named, was also present during the game. He advised that he told the defendant and victim that they shouldn't be playing with guns and that they were police officers. He felt uncomfortable and he started to leave. The partner says that he left the room but heard the shot while still in the apartment and returned to find Alex shot in the chest. So if there's more to it, there's an investigation underway.
It's quite possible. Quite possible. That's a deflect story.
Deputies in Florida have arrested a woman accused of killing her boyfriend and keeping his body in a camper at another location for several months. Detectives discovered the dismembered body of Anthony Franklin Mitchell inside the camper trailer at Park Campground. Don't worry, I have lighter stories than this.
Yeah.
The cause of death was subsequently determined to be homicide due to blunt force trauma. Investigators said Mitchell drove to the RV village in early August 2018 and was living with his girlfriend, Penny Rebecca Paspiel. And the victim's family last spoke with him on August 22nd, and was shortly after that time, detectives learned that Pospili had started informing on others that Mitchell had passed away. Officers said that she had moved the camper trailer near the end of September 2018, after which time witnesses reported a foul odor coming from the camper.
Oh, that's just him decomposing.
Detectives worked to conduct surveillance on her and found the cause to take her into custody. She's being held without bond.
They're playing Russian Monopoly.
Oh, is that what it was? All right, how about this? Having bird poop on your car isn't a crime, but apparently having your parking permit blocked by the stuff is. A man in Southend, UK, was slapped with a $200 parking fine after his valid permit was covered up by pigeon crap. Scott Coulthart said that despite immediately showing the parking inspector the mistake, he was told that it was too late and he would be forced to appeal the ticket. The man and his wife were denied their initial appeal and so challenged the ticket a second time. They since received a letter from law enforcement saying that the bailiffs would visit their home if it wasn't paid in full. Coulthart said bird poop is not something that we can control. And a council spokesman said, we are currently discussing this claim with our contractor and will be in touch with the residents directly.
So if you pull up and you're it's exposed, you can see it. And during the time you're at work, a bird poops on it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be held liable for that.
Exactly. But they are being for the time being. Richard Kamrowski held on to the hood of an SUV and his life during a wild ride on the Mass Pike on Friday.
This is wild video.
Began with road rage. Now, the 65-year-old says it all started when a small accident on the Pike side swiped his truck. A confrontation with the SUV driver occurred, and Kamrowski somehow ended up on the hood of that SUV. And for nearly 3 miles, he was hanging on as the SUV traveled at speeds of up to 70 miles an hour. Mm. He said, I thought he was going to run over me, and I don't know. I don't think he stopped. He just kind of kept going fast and then slow, fast and slow, trying to get me to slide off, and I wasn't going to get off the car. So he was trying to slam on the brakes and get the guy to come off of there.
This poor bastard.
And we're looking at video of him on the hood of the car yelling at the guy while driving.
And he has his feet sort of bent up.
Now the driver of the SUV, Mark Fitzgerald, is facing charges of assault with a dangerous weapon, negligent driving, and leaving the scene of an accident involving property damage.
I might have just assumed that he was out for a test drive, and the sales guy wanted him to feel like what it was like to be by himself during the commute.
And Kamrowski, the guy who was on the hood, is facing a charge of disorderly conduct. The SUV driver ultimately came to a stop.
Could you pull over?
With the intervention of some Good Samaritans and was taken into custody by responding troopers. So
this poor guy.
Dude. Oh, man.
Well, they're both idiots.
Yeah, exactly. The three-year-old boy who spent 2 days lost in the woods of eastern North Carolina tells his family that he, quote, hung out with a bear for companionship.
That is, listen,
I doubt
that's the case, but that's such a cute story to come up with.
While hundreds of people search frantically in cold,
dude, no one will believe you when you tell them.
And rainy,
I think you made it up.
In rainy weather to find him.
Do you have a camera or something we could take a picture?
His aunt, Brianna Hathaway, shared the revelation on Facebook Friday and added that Casey's healthy, smiling, and talking after being found late Thursday night. She said, God sent him a friend to keep him safe.
My name is Baloo.
He said, God is a good God, and miracles do happen. The family said, yeah, it's a miracle if it was a bear there and didn't eat the kid. The family said,
oh, I thought about it. I really did, but he's just totes adorbs.
The family said Friday that a post office box is being set up to handle the sudden outpouring.
I mean, when I first saw him, I thought this is the human equivalent of Tortino's role, just tiny and wonderful.
A support for the boys, so there's a lot of people that are sending them support.
It is not without precedent, though, that people have been lost in the woods and kids, and they've been sort of taken in by like a wolf, or it has happened throughout history, maybe like 3 times.
But do you think he maybe meant, you know, raccoon instead of bear?
I'm thinking like his mind was just sort of wandering, and he would have liked that to have been the case. I can't see a full-grown bear passing up an easy meal like that.
Yeah, he's 3 years old. So,
and his hair was covered in peanut butter.
I still am blown away by that story
and
how that kid was outside during those
that
temperatures and lived. And
the bear kept him warm.
Okay, I guess so.
It's not much, but I've got electric heat.
Right.
And
welcome
to play. I'll put something on TV for you. You like that show? You like the channel Sprout?
Yeah, that's for little kids.
Yeah.
All right. That's what I got in the beef out for you. Let's give away some beer. I got Yard Signature IPA, a case of it, for calling number 16 at 215-263-WMMR. To learn more about Philly's brewery, you can visit yardsbrewing.com and follow at Yards Brew on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up Yard Signature IPA at Brewers Outlet 202 in Chad's Ford. 16, you get it. 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Disturb. Ghost. The Glorious Sons.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Boom! A couple of new Daily Rush videos up for you to check out. One of them is Christina P., and she teaches Kathy how to poop and fart, apparently.
It's a funny video. I watched it on Friday.
The description of this?
Yeah.
Comedian she was in. She's
Tom Segura's wife.
Yeah, and I forgot what she was telling us about those particular moments and how you do it, but I guess
I'll watch the video.
She schooled you. I have to watch a video too. And then the other one is the River Valley Vocal Band tries to take on Rent, and we tried to sing a little bit of it. So you can watch. I have not watched that video yet.
I watched Rent last night, and I think we got pretty goddamn close.
I think we could have. Oh, you think so?
We are right there.
I watched about the first 30, 40 minutes of Rent. It was cool. It was good. It was.
You're the biggest fan of the musical on the show. I like it a lot. I had not seen. I saw the movie, which you said was not really a good representation.
I mean, it's better to see the live stage show, which is by far the best way to watch it. I actually liked the movie a little better than what I saw last night, but it was still fine and all. I haven't heard the songs in a long time, so I was surprised how much I remembered a lot of the words and the dialogue from the show, because I've seen it. My wife and I have seen it 5 times, so we know it pretty well. But I
thought it was really good. The lead actor, I guess the guy who plays Roger, his entire head was ripped off during what happened?
He
broke his foot. Yeah.
And it happened after they did their rehearsal run, which was Saturday, and they filmed it just so I guess they could go back and look at the production and see if it's everything they needed to be. And it's a damn good thing they did it, because they ended up running it last night because a dude broke his foot after the performance.
They were like 85% of the way through the rehearsal.
Oh, okay.
All right, so the 85% of the rehearsal, they recorded. They did the same with, that same thing with all of them. They did it with Grease just in case there was rainy weather, you know, they didn't know what to do. So they just had it in the can. And so they ran it. I'm like, oh, it's going to be, honey, it's going to be live. And then the thing pops up and says, previously recorded. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But then I found out the story. So at the end, the last song, he's doing the performance, and he's there, and his foot has a big, like, shoe on it. And it's his toes are sticking up, and it's up on a chair.
Uh-huh.
But they just went with it. But they explained what was going on. I really liked it. I thought it was really good. You know, compared to performances you've seen, it might not have been up to snuff. But
yeah, but it was still. I love it.
Yeah,
it's a great.
It's really good.
It's a great story. And
one guy to write that entire book and those songs, which are really good.
Yeah.
Yep.
And fairly rocking a number of them.
And he died before it opened.
The night before.
Yeah. That's a horrible story.
Was it a sudden death or was he sick? Sorry.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
But it's something we'd have to look up here. Nick is pulling it up.
They gave him, obviously, props at the end. They put his picture up, and then they had the original couple of casts of Rent come out and join them to sing Seasons of Love.
It says here, Larson died unexpectedly the morning of Rent's first preview performance on Broadway.
Morning. Wow.
He suffered an aortic dissection. Caused by an undiagnosed syndrome of sorts that he had. So that's terrible. But it went on to be a great, you know, stage show, and still is.
Kind of classic status now at this point.
Yeah.
Speaking of great shows, Casey tried to watch a movie that's really getting touted by the critics and and awards. What movie was it?
It's The Favorite.
The Favorite. Okay.
Which I enjoyed.
Which you were hesitant to even watch because there were two big period pieces out. There was Mary Queen of Scots, and then this one, and you're like, I'll watch Mary Queen of Scots.
Yeah.
But this is the one that's getting all the praise.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
you decided to watch it.
I decided to watch, you know, this time, this period, I'm not like,
This is your jam.
I'm not into it. But it's getting...
When I think of you, I think of this period.
It's getting all sorts of praise. Three of the three women that are in this, Olivia, whatever her name is, Rachel Weisz, and Emma Stone are all up for, like, best actress and supporting actress and stuff like that. I found out it was kind of a comedy, too. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll give it a try. But, you know, my mother lives with me now, and she loves this stuff. So I'm like, you know what?
You thought it was a safe bet.
I thought it was a safe bet.
It's a Victoria. Yes, absolutely. It's one of these pieces where you just it's full of big puffy clothing and the King's English and all that stuff.
So we were going to watch it Saturday, but we decided to watch it yesterday instead. It was in the middle of the afternoon. Put it on, and I found out. In fairly short order, that it was a terrible mistake. Terrible mistake to watch this with my mommy.
Why?
Because there is a ton of sex in it. And, like, naked people.
Oh, really?
And all of that stuff.
So let me ask you.
And, like, Kathy, like, I'm talking...
Okay, you watched it?
Well, I didn't... Stephen, remember, I started the beginning of it, and I never... I still have to watch it.
Finish it off. It's not great, but it's good.
No, I want to. Yeah. I liked the beginning of it, but I didn't get to any of the sex scenes.
Well, the first... Before there's any sex in it, there's a part where the women are being, like, basically... Like, they're in prison almost, like, being bathed against their will.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, you know, even nudity, while watching a movie with nudity with my mother... is awkward, right? I mean, in years past, with like a VCR or whatever, she had the remote. If a boob came on the TV,
she would freeze frame,
change the channel, or fast forward, or whatever.
Look at that
so
can.
Now you're watching, okay.
So now we're watching this on the Xbox, by the way. So the remote is like it's a joystick, and it's in the middle of the table. So it's not even like right there where any of us can even go for it. She would be the one that would go for it. She doesn't know how to work the Xbox controller.
Is it just you and her watching?
It is just her and I
in
the back room.
And are you just too embarrassed to even move?
I couldn't even move. Couldn't even move.
Was this because your pants were around your knees?
No, Steve. Stop it. So
who's more freaked out?
Probably her, but I'm... So, me being freaked out, I'm freaked out...
And you can't move.
I'm freaked out on her behalf.
Yeah, you're like...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've seen all of this stuff before, but I know how uncomfortable it makes her.
Right.
Now, I tweeted out, I said, there are too many sex scenes, scenes of people making love, and by too many, one is too many, all right? There are more than one in this, and I tweet this thingy out. And by the way, Kathy, it's not like take my breath away. It is.
It's banging.
Okay. Yeah.
So there are two scenes in a row where like dudes taking her from behind.
What the hell was that?
And then whatever.
It was a wrong button, is what that was.
And then and then right after that. I think those same two people are doing it again.
Hey, were you tweeting during the movie?
Tweeting during the movie.
Okay, good.
Anything to take my attention away from what was going on the screen.
That's what I figured.
What was that? I missed it.
So do the timestamp on that, Nick. That first tweet was at 4:20.
4:28, okay. and then you followed it up.
Was what time?
3 minutes later.
3 minutes later. after the people doing
it. Casey wrote, oh, no. Handy scene to the full completion. This is effing torture.
That was the worst. I mean, that was worse than because it was so before she even touches it. It was their wedding night, and he says something to the something like, it is our wedding scene. I am rock hard.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh my god.
Quick question.
Yes.
Since you both are obviously having a horrific time with this. At what point do you just say, I'm going to stand up, grab the remote, and say, maybe this is not the movie for us?
Yeah.
Totally forgot about the lesbian scene, too.
So you're already multiple sex scenes into it.
I think you and your mom need to have a conversation.
Oh, jeez.
No.
You know what's going through your mom's head?
I love this movie. Oh.
I hope. I know he's uncomfortable, but this is awesome.
Okay. So
because it is, it's not like it's a porn. It's a well done movie.
Is it? I couldn't even appreciate it for what it was.
I mean,
appreciate it.
To put this in perspective, you guys all have seen Brooklyn, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So there's one of the most antiseptic, innocent romance consummation scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's basically clothes on clothes.
Clothes on clothes. At one point, you just see her in her bra.
Right. And that is it. That was massively uncomfortable.
My mom got up and went to the bathroom. She right. went, I got to pinch a loaf here.
I gotta lay some cable. I'm very much a lady. I have to go lay some cable.
But there, I believe what was going on there, it's psychologically, we were at a standoff. Like, it was like, okay, if we just don't say anything, it's almost like it's not happening. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's 9,000 times more uncomfortable. So, if you just sit there in silence as a pelvis to pelvis smacking scene is going on.
I think you and your mom need a safe word.
We do.
You're sitting there and watching a movie, all of a sudden, rutabaga.
My mom would make little comments. Like, she would be like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I didn't know this was going to happen.
Well, the
would you have gotten up and shut it off?
I don't think okay, so. We probably would have, right. At this age, we would have just laughed.
I mean, exactly. we are grown-ups. We are adults. You know, the reason I'm here on this earth is because of something her and my father did. Out of love.
Yeah.
Out of love.
They maybe they did it from behind.
Stop
as well.
It. Preston.
You know?
As Stop well. It. Stop it.
Hey, I saw my mother.
That's
I
know. Right.
I saw my mother. There's no way babies come from what my mom was doing.
Did she or he see you see them?
My father saw me full, excuse the term, blown, standing in the doorway.
Yeah. Oh,
and man. I was there. I came in and I'm looking and he's there like, dude's got to get some.
Yeah. Too late.
So the first instance of any sort of sex was a lesbian scene between the queen and... I couldn't even tell you what
you were
Weiss's
too busy crying.
Was. So when that is going on, I go, well, I don't know if this movie is historically accurate. I'm going to research this right now, Mom. I'm not even going to watch what's on the TV screen. And so I look it up.
That
I'm
makes
like,
it worse.
I, dude, Steve, it was so awkward. I didn't know. And there was nothing right. I couldn't do anything.
I'm just amazed that since both of you feel this way, that you just didn't get up and say,
or one of you say, you know what, maybe we shouldn't watch this.
Or, Ma, do you want to go continue with this? I can leave the room. It's, you know, because you both know it's uncomfortable. You both know it makes the other person feel uncomfortable as well.
Yeah.
And so in that way, but to sit there, Kat, and I think you agree with this, in abject silence while you're like, you're like Lou Costello. Chick!
Well, something good did happen. I ended up falling asleep. Fairly quickly,
oh
yes. Fairly quickly after the handy scene.
Okay, so when did the real sleep kick in after you closed your eyes and pretended you were asleep?
I'm pretty good at it, Steve. So I fell asleep pretty quickly.
Play dead.
And I woke up to it was right before the conference call that we do right around 6 o'clock, so around 5:55.
And now it's time for butt stuff.
My mom wakes me up, and she says, hey, do you have your conference call coming up soon? I'm like,
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I missed all the sex.
And she said, the movie's playing all over again. She's like, I hated the movie. And I'm like, I knew you did.
It's worse with your mom.
Yes.
You could watch a movie like that with your dad and giggle about it and laugh or whatever. But I went and saw Jerry Maguire, which I figured be an innocent movie with my mom at one time, and there's a
critically
scene,
acclaimed.
Critically acclaimed. Everybody loves
Tom Cruise.
Mainstream
film.
Mainstream movie, and it was just me and my mom, and we went and saw the Gateway Shopping Center movie theater, which has since burned down. And
you burned it.
I burned it down right after. Honestly, it was just one scene, but I'm sitting right next to my mom, and the scene where Tom Cruise gets back from a business trip, and John Travolta's wife, Kelly Preston, yells at him to never stop effing her as loud as, and I'm just, it's just awkward sitting next to your mom. Casey, I'm with you. I totally get it. It doesn't matter if you're 43 or 13. It's a weird, awkward moment.
My mom, two occasions I remember in particular, my mom took me to see, and I was probably like, I don't know, eighth, ninth grade or something like that. She took me to see Porky's.
Stop it.
Okay, so
because I asked her to. It's a sex comedy.
Porky's
I mean,
is a teen sex comedy.
You know it.
There were parents' advocacy groups that went ballistic because of Porky's.
It was way cool of her to take me to see it, but I insisted on sitting in a different row.
Okay.
So I did not sit in the same row as her. So when the woman is trying to pull the guy through the wall with his penis, I wasn't sitting next to my mom. Now, another movie I went to see, though, I did sit next to her, which was Stripes. And there's a scene where they go into the women's shower.
Yes.
And they're all full frontal nudity washing each other up. And John Larroquette is going, "Ooh, I wish I was a loofah." and I'm sitting next to my mom, and she it was a little bit uncomfortable. But I was pretty young then. Now it wouldn't faze
me. How old would you say? All.
I was like eighth, ninth okay. grade. So, you know, I was a teenager.
I immediately got a text or a tweet back from Nick Murphy, whose brother went to see Magnolia with his mom. And the opening scene of that, I had pressed, "Can you do that for me?" Because I can't figure out exactly how to say what was.
Well, it's Tom Cruise, and he teaches men how to really handle women.
He's like a motivational guy. Like get in touch with your inner caveman.
And there are two C words that are used right away. One for the male part and one for the female part. And he just comes out and he goes, "Respect the C," meaning the male part.
Yeah.
And then he goes, "And tame the C," meaning the women's part. God. And it's like, that's how the movie gets going, so, or at least part of it. Yeah, they start off with an urban legend.
I like Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
that's right. You know what? I'm going to go fix us some lemonade and snickerdoodles. You enjoy your C words.
Oh, my God. Let me go to some calls. I have Jonathan. We'll begin with Jonathan. Good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's all good, buddy. What's up, man?
I think I can top your story.
All right.
My mother, whenever the movie came out, came to visit me and said, "Let's go to the movie."
All right.
I said, "Sure, what do you want to see?" And she goes, "I hear good things about this movie, Boogie Nights."
Wow.
Stop it.
One scintilla of...
I am totally serious.
Yeah, one scintilla of checking would have told you this was a movie that addressed the 70s porn industry. Everybody knew it. They knew that... Okay, so you go to see it.
And, of course, Mom wants to sit in the middle, so I have people on both sides of me. And that first scene with Julianne Moore, and I'm like, can I just die? I think I might have been in therapy for 10 years after that.
So to explain the scene, young Dirk Diggler, his first porn movie, he's on set, and she is fully naked, instructing him how to do the scene correctly. And and for mainstream actors... You know, an actress to be doing this stuff is pretty wild.
Yep. She's clearly talking about where you can finish your job and on her body.
Jonathan, you had no idea what this movie was about going into it?
I did. I tried to convince her to see anything else. And she's like, no, come on, it's Burt Reynolds. How bad could it be?
It's not Smokey and the Bandit. this isn't.
Oh my God.
That's funny.
You know, I guess why I'm effed up in whatever ways I'm effed up or whatever my comedic sensibilities. We were indoctrinated early into this stuff. So it was never an issue, you know. So it was. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but
I don't either.
Yeah,
I
can't say either way. I don't know if I'd certainly some of the stuff we saw, I wouldn't say is probably the things you want to bring kids to. But we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, listen.
If you have stupid kids, you can bring them. We were stupid, so we were able to be brought to these things.
Listen, I was brought up in a very, very loving environment. However, that environment was not very open for discussion about real.
It's a little life, sheltered.
Very, very sheltered. And so this was 43 years old.
Oh, my God.
Just torturous. My heart goes out to you. I just, maybe what you need to do is keep that Xbox controller on your lap for the next time.
Yep. Let me go to Dave. Hi, Dave. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's your story, Dave?
So when I was 15, I went to Florida to visit my grandmother. Nothing, you know, not a lot to do down there. We decided to go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the movie Kids with my grandmother.
Oh, no. My God. This movie came out in the mid-90s. It's about these kids in urban New York City, and they just their the sex and their culture and
drugs.
It's tough to watch. I saw it one time and that was enough for me, man. And there's graphic sex in it as well. Yeah.
Oh, it was horrific. And every time there was a graphic scene, I only heard like a small groaning come from her. No, she didn't say anything, but I'm like, please don't say anything.
Oh my God.
and yeah. just, my skin is crawling. I'm like, please don't show anything else. And at the end of the movie, she says nothing. We leave the theater like nothing happened. And that was it. We yeah. never talked
she
about
probably
it.
Walked out and said, well, let's go see a movie because that never happened.
yeah.
yeah. right, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, Dave. That's a tough one. That would be a tough one to watch. Let me go next to Chris. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hi, Bartle Do.
Bartle Do, exactly.
What's up, Chris?
I am calling because my mother wanted to go see Magic Mike, and so I decided to go see it with her, and we both knew what the movie was about. And granted, my mom's retired, and she doesn't have a lot to do,
yeah.
and she needs any kind of, like, excitement in her life. So we went and saw the movie, and there was one scene in the movie where one of the guys, before they went on stage, they brought out a penis pump.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
and so my mom leans over next to me. We're sitting together. She's like, Chrissy, what's that? And I was like, Mom, it's a penis pump. And so it was like so
that looks like the one your father uses.
embarrassing.
Except his was made out of wood.
Oh, my God.
but it was hilarious. It was funny.
Yeah, I mean, even that is, that's, I remember there are movies that come out where with their, you know, their design, like the 50 Shades movies,
yeah.
women were going out in battalions to see those movies,
yeah, yeah. Yeah,
but as was the case with the Magic Mike films.
But there are, I mean, sex is so prevalent in shows these days. I started watching The Americans, right?
Yeah.
That show's on FX.
Yeah.
And even though they don't show anything.
It's pretty graphic.
It is pretty damn graphic. Yeah. I mean, there was a 69 scene that I'm yeah. like, dude, I can't be, you know. And it's supposed to be safe-ish. Luckily, I don't watch that with my kids, but I could only imagine.
I got to point out something about FX, because over the weekend as well, the original Kingsman was on. And I started watching it, and I noticed they were editing out some of the language. The language is yeah. really strong in that movie. But then they got to the church scene. Totally,
yeah.
100% unedited graphic violence all the way.
Not a problem.
I mean, some really hard
yeah.
stuff to watch, you know, pikes going through people's yeah. throats and stuff. And they curse out a couple of S's and F's, and I'm like, and you're leaving all this in.
So yeah. I forget how did they handle the promise at the end with the German
Oh, yeah, no, the Swedish.
The Swedish, yeah. How,
I didn't watch it all the way okay. to the end, but I know that they do talk about it. So I've seen the edited version, Stephen. It's, you know.
It kills me because my mother-in-law, you know, God rest her soul, passed away a few years ago, but she, anything of a sexual nature was completely verboten, but she loved her favorite show of all time, Kung Fu Revisited.
Really?
That second go around at Kung Fu, that was her show. So violence,
yeah,
totally fine.
Same
anything
thing with
slightly sexual, no, which was bizarre because, you know, sometimes she'd stay over with us and I didn't know this and I'd be putting on stuff to say, hey,
yeah,
that's what it is.
So with my kids, you know, like, the violence thing is fine. Usually we're watching things where, like, aliens and robots are being killed or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But if the, you know, occasional head gets cut off or whatever, it's fine. But anything sexual, it's like, oh, my God. So
a wedding night handy is just not going to fly.
Oh, my God. There's a movie that you and I love called Sing Street.
Love
right?
it. Right. Love
it's
it.
A great, and for the most part, it's you know, I've watched it with my children.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's totally fine. But there is a scene in the movie where the kids are in a band and they're in the living room playing music and the mother is upstairs and she's like, oh, my God. So she shuts the door. She has a vibrator in her hand
yeah, yeah.
and then shuts the door. But I'm like, okay, if my kids ask me what that is, it's a flashlight. I'm just going to say it's a flashlight.
It's a flashlight.
Yeah. Not a flashlight, a flashlight. Something that you use in the dark to see.
See.
Because it was like, it was metallic.
Do you
right?
think they cannot sense your that you get nervous as you, or that your demeanor, your delivery has become slightly more pitched?
Or like when I just all of a sudden break out into song and screaming to distract their attention from the screen.
Hey!
Hey! Look at this. Everybody! Hey! 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 Hey!
Casey, would you watch Game of Thrones with your mom?
No.
Not even close.
No. God, well, man. You know what? She wouldn't be into that. She's not. Okay. She doesn't like scary things, violent things.
Dragons.
Dragon. Well, sex things, you know, so that Game
sex
of Thrones
dragons.
Is yeah. Sex with dragons. Yeah. She's not into that.
Sex
sort of
with your brother.
Anyway.
She's
yeah.
totally out.
Oh, yeah.
Though she did Game of Bones. You said she
did. There you not. Go. Here's the Game of Thrones call. I'm going to go to Amy. Hi, Amy. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. You guys were asked.
Thank you. All right, Amy, tell us about Game of Thrones, your parents.
So the first time I ever saw Game of Thrones, I was sitting with my parents, and it was the scene where the Dragon Queen was getting raped by her husband. And
oh, yeah.
I immediately got up and went to the bathroom because I didn't want to look at my parents after that had happened. And so when I came back out, I was hoping that the scene and everything would just be done, and my parents are whispering to each other on how they were going to react when I came back out.
You were all trying to figure out, yeah. Did your dad go, hey, you missed the rape scene?
So
I mean, because there's so much sex in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, especially early on.
Yeah, wow.
It was awful, and we all just kind of looked at each other and agreed that we weren't going to talk about it ever again, and that we would just not watch it together.
Wow, that's just torturous.
So what I did find out through my tweets yesterday is that IMDb is a really good tool for this sort of stuff. So if you're ever unsure on whether or not you can watch something with your mom or your yeah. kids or whatever, they do have like a breakdown of, you know, some of the things that you will see. And
did you see that on the favorite when you looked that up?
I didn't look it up. Okay. I didn't find that out.
I meant afterwards.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So as a matter of fact, they had like all 14 occurrences of things that you might see that might make the viewing uncomfortable. I wish I would have seen that for Bird Box, by the way. You guys saw Bird Box. For 99.99% of that movie, it's totally fine. But there's one scene. I don't even know why they even put it in there, because I'm watching it with my son, where Sandra Bullock's character opens up a door.
Walks in on a couple.
Walks yeah. in a couple, you know, banging yeah, on a yeah. freezer or whatever. I'm like, oh, God, I didn't see that coming. Yeah, I had no idea. Like,
somebody texts in and asks, well, since you feel so uncomfortable, you know, with your mom watching these types of things, wouldn't that make you want to change that in your own kids that you're bringing up so it's not quite as awkward?
Yeah, but okay. But also my kids are young.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just do what we did and just take them to incredibly inappropriate things all the time.
Oh my God.
Let me get a few more calls here. I'm going to go to Sean. Hi, Sean. Good morning.
Hi, Grandma.
Hi, Grandma.
Exactly.
Look away, Grandma.
What's going on, Sean?
Well, this goes all the way back to 2004 when Borat came out. My mom decided it would be a good idea to take me and my friends to go see it. Now, in 2004, I was 12 years old, and everything was going pretty swimmingly throughout the movie, you know, and then things pretty much peaked in awkwardness when I think Borat comes back to his hotel room.
Right, yeah.
Pleasuring and himself, too. Yeah. Okay, got it.
Yep. Hilarity ensues, and then there's a 69 with a rubber fist scene, and they're running through the hotel naked. I have melting in my feet, and awkwardness is just, and at the end of all of it, my mom was just like, oh, it's funny.
Your mom had no problem with it.
Yeah, I guess not, but I was just like,
oh. Yeah. Listen, it's how you react. But if you, you know, so Casey, you know, thanks. Like with IMDb, do the additional homework. I mean, my mother, my father was too chicken-ass to take me to go see The Exorcist when it first came out.
Really?
So it was my mother and myself in basically an empty theater during an early matinee, because she knew what a horror fan I was, and we watched that thing, it's one of my favorite memories of my mom, that she, you know, that she cared enough to take me to go see The Exorcist.
Besides IMDb, there might be some sites out there that are specifically for, you know.
Well, Marissa,
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, Marissa came up with you said we should come out. There's a domain that does not exist yet that maybe we could invent. And what's it called?
Oh, yeah. Can I watch this with my mom.com?
Oh, yeah.
Just make it easy.
That's not bad.
Yes.
It was funny earlier. Nick had said, it's fine to watch it with your dad unless you're a girl.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's a good point.
Because I remember watching Forrest Gump with my dad because my dad and I love history and sharing things like that. And then the scene
in the dorm room
where he's sitting on the bed and we were watching it on like TNT at this point. Like it had been out for 10 years. And my dad jumps up in an uproar and is like, why are we watching this movie? What is this?
This is trash! It is filth!
It's like the 12th time we've seen this, Dad. What are you talking about? Come on, Dad.
Oh, man. All right, this call looks really awkward. I'm going to go to Shirley. Hey, Shirley, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Shirley?
I'm really excited that I'm on the phone with you. So my story was when I don't even remember how old I blocked the memory out until you started bringing up the topic, but we were watching True Lies. I was at my friend's house, who I know from church. And her dad was watching with us, and he's like a deacon in the church, and it was just, you know, awkward. So then there's that one dance scene that Jamie Lee Curtis does.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, this whole strip tease. And my friend left. She walked away and left me to watch that entire scene with her dad, who doesn't really speak English. Because I'm Korean, and it was just so uncomfortable. Blocked it until literally just now. And
you blocked it out. So you're sitting there watching what is considered really one of the most erotic it dance is, scenes. Even still holds
there's
up.
There's no nudity, but yeah. She is incredibly sexy in that scene.
And Schwarzenegger sitting there. She doesn't know, you know, that he's the one barking out the commands for her to do the dance.
Yeah.
So, and you're sitting there with this guy.
And I'm like, I'm young. You know, I'm immature. I'm an adolescent just sitting there on the couch, and my friend left me. I cannot believe she walked away, left the room, and didn't even think to just say, well, why don't you come with me? No, she just left me there to watch.
Yeah,
the whole
hung you out. Hung you out to dry. Yeah.
Did you ever say anything to her about it?
No, I didn't. But I was just like, oh, my God. I just sat there. I went to a happy place and finished watching the movie with her dad. I don't even know where she went. I don't remember even like how that day ended. Yeah. I just remember that moment.
He turns and goes, this is a great movie.
That's funny. Thank you, Shirley. Appreciate it. Hope you can get over it one day.
You block it out.
Here, Case wants me to go to this call. It's Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Lisa?
Hey, so my dad, ever since I'm a kid, I have three older brothers. My dad doesn't do it with them. He only does it with me. Anytime there's anything, doesn't even have to be like a raunchy scene, even something like, you know, groping, he'll purposely point out something, you know, kind of mundane in the background. Like, look at that ficus. Lisa, look at that ficus in the background. It needs to be dusted.
So he's like, so there's massive heavy padding in the foreground, and he's saying, do you think that's a Schwinn back there?
Yeah, look at that shirt. It needs to be dry cleaned.
I did that too. I wonder if this thing is historically accurate. Let me look this up right now.
That's what you did?
Yeah, as it turns out, Queen Anne didn't have a whole bunch of rabbits. Mom, you believe that?
Mom?
I'm going to take a nap.
Look at me. Look in my eyes.
That's what he does. Yeah.
Please.
That's funny.
Look at the ficus.
Thank you, Lisa.
Please.
So wait a minute, Casey. Was this during the lesbian scene?
No. Yeah, it was very, very early on.
And then it's starting, or is it in the middle of it by the time you interrupt?
It was probably in the middle of it. But, yeah. Well, because
I'm going to see if this is correct.
It start, and I was hoping it was like one of those things where it was like just it was a slow build.
I'm going to see if she actually had all this lesbian sex, Mom.
One second.
Yeah, she had lots of it, and apparently she did. Yeah, she liked autoerotic stuff, too. Yeah, she's into that. And insertion, yeah, all sorts of stuff.
Queen Anne started, like, sucking Rachel Weisz's fingers.
Yeah.
And then basically sucked her whole hand. Liz? Okay. Oh, no, they're going into the bed. I got to see if this is historically accurate.
Are these costumes authentic? Yeah. Are these costumes really authentic?
Yeah. You were asking what time period this was. This is like early 1700s, Grandmom. Look at me. Look in my eyes.
I totally want to watch The Favorite now, though.
I liked it.
I want to invite my mom over, but I'm going to watch the movie.
Let me go to, is it Zeely? Is your name Zeely?
It's Zoe.
Hi, Zoe.
Zoe.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Zoe. What's up?
Hey, good. So my mom would love to press my grandparents' buttons, and whereas my sister and I were, you know, completely respectful, and so we would rent movies for them. We're just like, you know, British or French foreign films, and be very careful and gentle around, you know, immigrant grandparents. And so my mom went, and she rented for them Jungle Fever.
the Spike Lee film about interracial love?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Spike Lee at one of his finest. And it's Wesley Snipes, I think. And we said, Mom, we're trying to give them a heart attack. And my mom said, well, I wanted to watch it.
Okay. It was, as long as you get the nod from one of the parents.
Thanks.
Yeah, they were in.
So my poor grandparents sitting there, you know, just horrified. Yeah. Very, very graphic.
There's some heavy stuff in there. Yeah.
Number of tweets coming in of people saying movies that they, I guess, sat through with either a parent or both parents. And I'll just reveal some of these titles. American Pie.
Yeah.
Another one says Wolf of Wall Street. Was flying and had a middle seat with two grandmas on either side of me. This one says something about Mary. I was 12 years old. So awkward. I left midway through and didn't see it again until I was an adult. Another one says, I did watch Ted with my grandmother. Got real awkward when the stripper pooped on the floor. And then this one says, Fear with my dad. And my boyfriend. Oh. I was 13.
Okay, so
it's Mark Wahlberg, right?
There's just that one scene on the roller coaster in that movie with the Sunday, and I'll remember forever. Yeah. Wild Horses by the Sundays being played as he does things to her with his hands.
Yeah, that's still a scene you don't want to watch with your dad
and boyfriend at the same time. Oh my god,
I gotta go to this. Let me go to Gabrielle. Hey, Gabrielle.
Hi. How are you?
Great. So tell us your story about watching a movie that has these embarrassing, you know, dirty parts in it with one of your parents or both?
Yeah, I went to see Step Brothers with my mom, and she is a very Christian, you know, church woman.
Yes.
Has a good sense of humor, but throughout the entire movie, she's looking over at me with this disgusted look, laughing. But then when we walked out of the theater, she says to me, do you think those were his real balls?
Oh my God. When he's rubbing them on the drums?
That's great.
That's great. Do you think those were his real balls?
Thank you. Oh my God. All right. Interesting. Well, I'm sure we've all had moments like this, and definitely Casey. That's why we brought it up in the first place.
A lot of people have texted in that this website, Casey, would be great for ahead of time knowing if it's good enough for you and your mom. And it's commonsensemedia.org. And it basically gives movie reviews, mostly for kids, but I guess it would be applicable to your mom as well.
CommonSenseMedia.org?
Yeah, and it does that everything from apps and books to movies and TV shows.
All right, and it says what age is it is appropriate for above.
Yeah.
So, Case, you might want to key in on, like, you know, age 10.
Yeah.
Because a 16 starts to get a little rough.
So I had texted you right before I started watching that, Preston, about what was on the Smithsonian Channel.
Yes.
They had run like a whole marathon on aircraft carriers.
Yeah.
And we had turned that off to watch The Favorite. And, you know, mid-finger-sucking, I was like, man, we should have just been watching.
Stuck with the aircraft carriers.
All right, well, thanks for your calls. We appreciate it. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. Our buddy Don Jameson is stopping by this morning. And we'll get it all in a little bit. We still got more to give away as well. I'll tell you about that when we return.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day Spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Steven Singer Jewelers is not revealing one new 24-karat gold dip rose color this Valentine's Day. He's got five! His roses start at only $59 exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Off air, we were talking briefly earlier about this special on Netflix about Ted Bundy.
Yes.
And I'm going to come back to that because I forgot to take this phone call. Hang on a second. Let me go to... Hey, is your name Ralph?
Yes, it is.
How long have you known Ted Bundy? No, I'm kidding. Actually, no, you're calling us for a completely different reason. Tell everybody, Ralph.
I just won $1,000.
Wow! That's much better than Ted Bundy! Ralph won $1,000. Yes, he did. And that's with MMR's GoFundYourself campaign. How's it feel, man?
I feel rich.
Yeah, that's a great way to start a week and an early Monday to boot. So that is awesome.
Yeah, any money you wasted over the weekend,
you got it back.
You made up for it and then some. How about that?
Amazing. Absolutely.
Nice. Hey, where are you from, Ralph?
From Belmar, New Jersey.
All right, buddy. Well, congratulations to you. We're excited. And you still are in the running for $10,000. So you never know. That could happen, too. All right?
All right. Thank you very much, guys.
All right. Congratulations, Ralph. Let's hear it.
That's
for
awesome. Hey, if I had $1,000, I'd build a teepee in my backyard and smoke pot with my kids.
Well, since you brought that up, we got a DM that says, saw Mr. Brown at a Grateful Dead concert. He stuck out his tongue and had a tab of acid on there.
Come on.
It says, no lie.
This is all hearsay.
An anonymous Twitter DM, by the way. So, what are we playing?
A little Grateful Dead, a little Shakedown Street.
Sure. Nice. All right. Anyway, let me go back to Ted Bundy for a
moment. Back to Ted Bundy.
There was a Netflix special that came up on Thursday. It was the 30-year anniversary of the killer's execution.
Yes.
I watched a little bit of it. It's the Ted Bundy tapes, I think is what it's called. Conversations with a Killer. I kind of lost interest in it. I've seen lots of really good Ted Bundy specials.
As have I.
And the investigation and the horrific nature and brutal, brutal, horrible murders that this guy committed.
You need to understand just how vicious he was.
What I didn't know is that he lived in our area for a little while.
Uh-huh.
And so I saw this. Marissa sent over this article. Did you catch this?
I did. Yeah, I didn't read the article, though, but I did see the headline.
Yeah, so he admitted to 36 homicides shortly before his death, but it's believed that he kidnapped, raped, and killed dozens more. Although he never admitted to committing any murders in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, as officials learned more about the killer, it's believed that he did have strong ties to the area. I had no idea.
So in the Netflix series, and it's a series, and we both had sort of the same take on it. A lot of the audio you're hearing, he doesn't acknowledge or admit to anything. So it's basically they could have almost taken all that audio out and just done a straight up documentary on his crime spree, because that was actually the stuff I found more interesting. Mm-hmm. But how long was he in the area, Preston?
Not very long. He went to Temple.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. And I don't know if Marissa sent you the same article, but I sent you one as well, where they narrowed it down that he actually lived in Lafayette Hill.
Yeah,
for a
exactly.
short period of time.
So he was at Temple just for a semester, but he attended there in January 1969. As a teen, he originally enrolled at the University of Puget Sound in Tacoma, then transferred to University of Washington. He dropped out in 1968 and left town and ended up back in Philadelphia to enroll at Temple. He had never admitted this, but he has implied that his first murders were committed at the Jersey Shore. He describes picking up two women in Ocean City in the spring of 1969, around the same time that 19-year-old Susan Davis of Pennsylvania and Elizabeth Perry of Minnesota were found strangled and stabbed beneath a pile of leaves on the Garden State Parkway near the Ocean City exit. According to a 2009 article in the Enquirer, Bundy specifically states that he was on the Ocean City boardwalk in the spring of 1969 and that he experienced the thrill of abducting a woman along the boardwalk.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Well, wow.
Now, his mother, Eleanor Louise Cowell, gave birth to Bundy at a home for unwed mothers in Burlington, Vermont. It was in 1949, and it was still unknown who his biological father is. Cowell and her newborn son moved back to Cowell's native Philadelphia shortly after he was born. They lived with Cowell's parents, and to hide that their daughter was unmarried, which was considered,
Scandalous
at the time. Bundy was raised as their adopted son and Cowell's little brother. So he was raised as his mother's little brother, which that can cause some crazy things to happen sometimes. Several sources say Cowell's parents' home was in Roxboro on the 7200 block of Ridge Avenue. So lived right on Ridge and
that's
Roxboro.
Crazy.
So
yeah.
I mean, do you think family is still here then?
Oh, I don't know. So the author of the book, Ted Bundy, A Visual Timeline, posted old photos to Facebook showing the property's approximate location. The home has since been demolished. Cowell eventually moved Bundy to Washington in 1950 and married Johnny Bundy 2 years later.
So that's where the series pretty much picks up with all things West Coast.
Yeah.
And it focuses primarily on that.
And then Kathy, after he dropped out of Temple, he lived briefly with his grandparents in Lafayette Hill.
Yeah.
In Montgomery County. Yeah,
I saw that article. There's a guy who writes for More Than the Curve, and he's like, how did we not know this before?
Yeah. I'd never remember hearing anything about that.
And to what you just imparted, that's really jarring to hear all that. There are moments of obviously it's a horrifying story, and you're can't help but be fascinated by someone who, at least as you listen to the tapes, does not own any of it. Does begin to later on, but there is one particular case, Preston, where he abducts this woman. He shows up. He had a fake police badge. I need you to come down and do this deal. Mm-hmm. And his thing was he would handcuff them immediately. You know, mm-hmm. when he got them into the car. But somehow in the handcuffing process, this woman was very. She asked to see ID. She was doing the whole thing. Okay, I'll go down. Mm-hmm. It fumbled, and he didn't get the handcuff on fully, and so she was able to get out.
Oh wow!
And it was kind of in a remote parking lot, but just at that point in time, a car came, you know, up, and she was able to run towards the car and jump in. And she goes, and where you'd think I would be ecstatic, I knew in my heart that. From me, he was going to go find someone else to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Because she saved her life, another woman was going to die that day.
Sure, yeah.
And he did.
And she escaped certain death.
Yeah, certain death.
Death. Mm-hmm. And something about the Bundy story is some people may not remember. Dude was arrested in prison.
Oh, my God.
Escaped.
Yes.
Got out and went and killed more women in Florida. Got down there and... beat them to death with logs. And it was insane. This guy was absolutely psychotic. That's what makes it so compelling is how can you wrap your mind around the mentality of somebody like
for
that.
For a guy who make a point in all the documentaries, including the Netflix one. Here's a guy who presented as just a button-down, you know, a lawyerish looking, defended himself in court. Yeah. You know, the whole thing, and that was his present. No, it can't be. And they have people saying, no, this is just not the kind of guy who does that. But he was, and the Preston, you're right. The brutal nature. I mean, the anger displayed in these killings. I forget the author's name. It was a woman that the killer next door or whatever. She went on to write a whole bunch of crime books. In fact, the Mark Harmon played Bundy in a made-for-TV miniseries based on her book. The thing that's really causing controversy now is this new Zac Efron movie that is based on Ted Bundy. I watched the trailer, and it flashes him up. I mean, it honestly, this was a brutal guy, and it's sort of like. You'd have to take a look to see what I'm talking about, but it almost makes him sex symbolish, it's just a bizarre way to present this guy and to present him in this trailer. It's almost flashy, like this guy. Wait till you hear this crazy story. And no, he was vicious.
Oh yeah, yeah, one of the most brutal serial killers out there. And in fact, that's the movie that James Hetfield is in.
Yes.
He's a cop. Metallica. Right? And in fact, I have not seen the trailer yet, Steve, but I was reading this morning that we're looking at it right now. Yeah, he's the first guy that gets Bundy. So they have him in the trailer as well, James Hetfield. So, wow. It's pretty terrifying to think about all of that. And the fact that he was right here in the area at some point in time and may have committed a couple of crimes. Couple of murders. It's pretty. I mean, it was a while ago, but it was scary.
Well, in this area, I think we talked about Heidnik, right? Was the
Gary Heidnik?
Gary Heidnik was that story? Has that ever been committed to film?
Not yet.
I've seen documentaries, but I've never seen a.
I think he was like an accidental serial killer. I don't necessarily. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't.
Well,
he had the full details.
The vehicle he drove around with a Bugs Bunny on the side, and his whole story is wild.
Yeah. I was trying to think of some of the other ones in the city. The only ones I remember, Ira Einhorn.
Yeah, oh my God. Oh, yeah, that story.
And he was in France, right? And then they had to... Was he a murderer?
They had to extradite him. Yeah, it was a girl. He kept her in a trunk or something. Her body
it was a
in
cooler.
A
is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
horrific.
Anyway, so I just thought it was interesting, you know, with that out right now and the fact that he... had lived in our area for a little while. It was kind of interesting.
That's chilling.
Yep, exactly. What else did I see that was worth bringing up? We got a minute or two, Casey?
Sure.
Or do we need to take a break? You know what? We have some audio to play. Sorry, Casey. I don't have a good segue for you.
Come on, man. Audio. You don't get a dollar.
But Casey wrote down a note that says, I will give you a dollar if you can naturally segue into the audio that we have. From Ted Bundy killing people to the guy playing a road cone in Leicester Square, London. But somebody got video of this guy. We've talked about him since our trip to London back in October, that this guy sits in Leicester Square, which is real busy with street performers and all this. It's a really flasher. It's right. It's a, like a block or two down from Piccadilly Circus. And anyway, this guy would sit outside, right outside my window and blow or just make this noise into a road cone. And we mentioned it a few times, and apparently somebody got video of him, and they tweeted it out. So I have the audio, Steve. And you're the only one that said actually didn't see him live performing.
I heard him.
You did?
I heard him, and I heard...
I thought you didn't.
No, I heard him, and I heard another guy who was doing the same thing. I never saw this guy, but I heard him. And then I was down another street, and there was another guy doing the road cone. Apparently, you guys saw the master at work.
Oh, yeah, the maestro. Yeah.
And there you go.
He was actually melodic there.
Yeah. Well, we must have caught him during leg warm-ups, right?
Warm-ups, yeah.
That's literally what it was.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We all heard the same thing.
Can I go back to Ted Bundy first?
Please.
Good segue.
Thank you.
I'll give you 50 cents.
Let me go to Lisa. Says that she texted in her grandmother is Linda Bundy.
Whoa.
And I am interested now. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Hi, sorry to bother you guys at work.
It's okay. So, wait a minute. Is Linda Bundy, was that Ted's mom?
No, so Ted Bundy was adopted, and so he got the Bundy name, you know, through his adopted family. And so my grandmother is Linda Bundy, and he was her cousin. And so he's, like, in all of our old family albums and stuff like that.
So you have pictures of Ted Bundy in your old family albums?
Yeah, she used to joke around when he was alive. She'd be like, don't make me mad. I'll call my cousin on you.
Jesus.
That's funny.
Whoa.
Of course, then, on the plus side, you can't help but be the favorite when you have Ted Bundy in the family, right?
Yeah, on the negative side, when everyone's sharing their celebrity family members, everyone's kind of scared when you tell them you're related to Ted Bundy.
So, wow. So, any stories? Or, I mean, obviously, you know, everyone was sort of stunned, but had you ever heard any other stories besides after the fact about him?
Well, you know, after the fact, they were kind of just didn't want to talk about it to the family. But she used to talk about, you know, the same thing everyone else would say before they realized, you know, he was the serial killer, that he just really seemed like an ordinary kid like everybody else. And he was, you know, she'd see him at family functions and, you know, they would, like, hang out. And, you know, he was no different than anybody else until all that stuff came out later. They had no idea, you know, he'd show up to family functions and, you know, they had no idea.
Jeez, wow. That's wild.
Listen to you. You sound like you like bringing it up. Yeah, my cousin was Ted Bundy.
Listen, I'll get us a table tonight. Hi, I'm related to Ted Bundy. Can we get four in? I know it's lobster week.
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah, that's great. Don't come near me.
That's crazy. All right. Interesting. All right. Thank you, Lisa.
No problem.
I appreciate it. Take care. By the way, we just got a text that came in. It says, any truth to Ted Bundy smoking pot with Mr. Brown?
That's quite possible.
Yeah. Hey, that dude got around. For all we know,
he hid in his teepee.
All right. Anyhow, listen, we should take a break because our guests have arrived, I believe, Case, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to break. We'll come back in a second. We got the B-File on the way. Our buddy Don Jameson is coming in with Matt Dorito, by the way, of Pop Evil. And they'll tell us about the show they've got coming up, which is going to be on February 5th. We'll get more of the details when we come back. Stay there.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum is Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first.
It's the best lift ticket deal all year and a spectacle on snow.
MMR ups our game in the prize department, including a $2,000 cash prize for overall best design, $1,000 for the coolest Captain Morgan theme. Sprint has a quick $500 for the fastest sled and a booby prize for the new category, Preston and Steve's favorite.
sale. Mandatory sled registration through February 24th. Available at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain.
Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum. Live like a captain. Join the crew. And sponsored by Sprint and J.P. Mascaro and Sons.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Don Jameson is here.
Oh, getting older every day.
And he brought a friend with him, and it's not Jim Florentine.
I'm the new Jim.
He brought Matt Dorito from Pop Evil, who is here this morning.
The slimmer Jim.
Fellas.
Slimmer Jim.
Yeah.
The more tattooed Jim.
Yeah, nice definitely. To see you. Are you covered in tattoos? I can't see. You're wearing full sleeves and everything.
I am, yeah. I cover them up during the daytime. They only come out at night.
I got you. And wait, do you own a tattoo shop or something like that?
I do, yeah. I own a tattoo shop in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Okay.
Just a little side thing, you know.
Did you work yourself?
I don't. I have. I wouldn't suggest it to anyone. I wouldn't recommend getting a tattoo by me, but it has happened.
We've tattooed people, believe it or not, as crazy as it is. Sorry, my other stupid telemarketer wants to sell me health insurance in Beijing. So get this.
Can you give me that number?
We get these calls, these bizarre calls. But anyway, the word is that a tattoo artist should never tattoo themselves. And that's always a liability.
That's part of our apprenticeship.
Yeah.
They have to tattoo themselves before they can tattoo someone else.
Just to make sure they have the balls to do it.
Like do their leg or something like that, like maybe their thigh or whatever. What is the stupidest tattoo you have? Not the worst, but the dumbest one that like, okay, you know what? I'm going to get a tattoo of Dom Jameson's face on my...
Wait a minute.
I
got a special spot reserved for that. You know, that's a piece in motion right now. But yeah. Man, I don't know. I have a lot of old band tattoos and stuff. You know, like a Queensryche one and stuff, which is not a bad.
No.
You know, like
that stood the test of time. It's when you get a flash in the pan artist that make people go, really?
Oh, the guy I saw with the third eye blind tattoo back in the late 90s.
Tell him about your Wang Chung tattoo, Matt.
Yeah. Well, you guys want to see it?
Jackson, our afternoon guy. I used to have an Ugly Kid Joe tattoo.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That was the first cassette tape I ever bought.
Really?
Yeah. Loved it, man.
Oh, my God. You gotta hate everything about you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. I think there are two songs on it.
But you have to vet your tattoo subject matter for a while to make sure that they're worthy of permanent presence on your body, right?
That's right. Yeah, and then you get to the point where you don't care.
Right, exactly.
You're just filling space.
Do you have any Pop Evil tattoos on you anywhere?
No.
You would never do that?
No.
Okay. Is that akin to getting, like, you know, your girlfriend's name tattooed on you?
Yeah, I mean, I just like getting bands I like tattooed on
me. Yeah.
You don't like Pop Evil?
He doesn't recommend them.
Yeah, no, those guys are posers.
I'm just kidding. I'm very, very proud of it.
You guys are, you're touring together. You're doing some shows together, the band and Don. How does that work? Who goes first? Is it Don opening for you? I mean, is that how it works?
We fight for it.
Okay.
We have our own fight club. It's a little unfair because, you know, there are five of us versus him, but we do have a girl, so.
There you go. Right. You got to throw it into the mix, man.
I go for her. Take her down first.
Yeah, she's the wild card.
He's a practitioner of hot yoga, so he knows all the moves.
Actually, the least person I'd go for is their drummer, Haley, because, and Preston, you're a drummer. You have got to check her out, man. I mean, she is one of the hardest hitters in rock music.
Oh, really? She's just banging on it.
Who are we?
Animal.
We were looking at pictures of somebody's drum heads, Preston, that they were auctioning off, and they were covered in blood. Who was that?
I forgot who it was.
Was it Stuart Copeland?
Celine Dion?
Celine Dion.
No, it was
backup band.
Oh, I thought it was Green Day. No.
Oh, Dirt?
No. That's Trey Cool.
Trey Cool.
I forgot who it was. Oh, you know who it was? It was Max Weinberg's son, who's playing for Slipknot now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, and they were in their recording, and he showed a picture of some, you know, blood on the drum head and everything. And Steve had asked me if I ever bled and kept playing. Absolutely. Most definitely. Pop blister, whatever. You hit your...
Definitely.
Knuckles on the rim
there you go.
Or whatever.
It was showing up on the screen here. That's some bloody
there
ass
you go.
Looking
that's,
drumming.
That's good. Good that's coverage there.
Definitely.
You ever bleed all over the bass or no?
Yes. Yeah. I broke my face one time on a cruise ship and I did the same kind of thing. My hands were covered in blood and they were starting to blister up my fingers. So I wiped my hand on one of the drums and just coated like this big bloody handprint on a drum head. But
that's kind of cool.
Like head to toe covered in blood. You know?
There you go.
What's your worst on stage injury? Would that be it?
That's definitely one of them. I've played through a lot of things. Like, I had a broken hand once. I had to play through, played with, like, a blown-out eardrum.
And Don, you said at one point you had mild regret, right? That was a...
Yeah, but I worked through. I powered through it.
Yeah, he was virtually crippled, and you felt remorse.
Seasonal depression? Was that it?
That's rock and roll. Right. Seasonal depression.
It's a real thing,
wait, you performed blind, too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. In Europe, I caught some kind of weird bug or blood poisoning or something like that. And
you went blind?
Yeah, I thought I was getting better. Just as I thought I was getting better, I went blind for like 3 days.
What?
That's not better. Two shows during that period.
Did you stand or were you sitting while you were playing?
I stood, yeah. Yeah, they walk me out on the stage and say, all right, you've got about three steps to the front of the stage.
Just follow the German Shepherd, yeah.
And that was it. And I learned real quick if I could play my parts without looking or not.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, so did you ever find that there were certain parts you didn't even realize that you look at the fretboard for from time to time?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's rock music, so come on.
Nobody's
and I
knows.
Play the bass.
No one's going to tell.
But, no, these guys, you know what I've been doing for years, mixing the comedy with the music.
Yeah.
And because I've been doing it, man, it's been great. Their agent, Tim Borer, who lives here in Philly, got in touch with me, and he was like, hey, what do you think about going out with Pop Evil? And I was like, oh, that's interesting, They have a very cool, diverse crowd. They just had a number one hit with their last album, a song called Waking Lions. And
Casey was just playing some stuff for us that we've played over the years. And, I think it's a perfect plan. And you have to have synergy with your that metal show audience and these guys, right? There's got to be crossover.
Yeah, we finally talked him to coming out on stage with us too. So,
I come out the end. Yeah, I come out in the end. I wear their shirt. They wear my shirt. There's my tour shirt right there.
There you go.
The Hellbent for Laughter tour shirt.
That's how I get the chicks after the show.
Of course you do. I know James.
I lure him in with his face.
No, wait.
My giant head on a shirt.
Don, do you play anything? Do you play guitar or anything?
No.
Not at all?
So you don't a little out? Bit. You
so, so then are you singing when you come out with these guys? Or
yeah, I come out for the encore and I do the chorus.
Handle the guitar. Give us your best song. We got one right over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Let's see what you got.
Oh, yeah.
Because, Preston has been teaching himself off of YouTube and he's gotten pretty good.
I know a few chords.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what YouTube ruins? Like, remember when, you'd see a video of, a six-year-old playing, their drums to Tom Sawyer? You'd be like, oh, my God, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Now with YouTube, there's,
there's tons of
a million six-year-olds.
Yeah, there's, a four-year-old now, yeah.
There are so many virtuosos, I had no idea.
I mean, it keeps getting more and more. The last video I saw, there were drumsticks sticking out of the birth canal.
Right, yeah.
All right, Don's
Watch this fetus play YYZ.
Yeah. All right, Don's going to try and whip something up for us here.
Of course.
There you go.
Something like that.
Iron Man. Jay Massa.
Going through the Sabbath. The entire Sabbath playbook. Oh, now some Priest. All right. Very good.
There you go.
Matt's got his lighter up in the air.
It's all beautiful.
Nice.
Nice. Ah, there you go. Preston, you care to wow him with anything?
No, it's okay.
Come on, man.
Preston, what did you just learn? Hotel California.
No, I was playing Breakfast in America.
Oh, Breakfast in America. Come on, there you go.
Give us a little EVH. Come on, a little Eruption.
Yeah.
All right.
That's beginning of Mean Street. A lot of people don't know. All right.
Sounds like it.
Very Stanley Jordan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Whoa, beautiful, man.
That's all.
No. How about that?
Yeah.
Nice. Right on, man.
Our friend Vinny Moore is listening right now, and he's probably chewing his fingers off listening to us butcher the guitar.
I don't know. It seems to be because there's all these things. My wife desperately wants to play the keyboards, and so I got her this electric piano. And now there's this thing out. You put it on your iPad, and it basically. So I guess the mindset now is you learn how to play songs, and then you That's, you don't learn theory or you don't learn that stuff. It's like everybody takes the entree of just learning to play a few songs and then you build on that. Right. Does that make sense? I mean,
Yeah, I guess so. Coming from someone who learned theory and all that kind of stuff, I'm glad that I did.
Yeah.
It's, you kind of got to learn how things work before you can start, you know, learn the rules before you can break them.
But like on a fun level, if all you're ever going to do is be like, you know, like sit around and play the, you know, the friends come over or whatever, that gets it done. But then when you see someone who can read and write and, you know, do the whole thing, it's really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you get some instant gratification from, you know, having a few tunes in your back pocket, which is good because all I know are Pop Evil songs. It's been so long.
That's all you know.
Matt, I don't pick up a guitar for anything else.
How do you end up on a bass? I mean, do you play guitar too or?
A little bit. I started on guitar for a very short period of time and then realized my chances were better if I was a bass player.
Really?
Yeah, so many guitar players out there that are great. It was I could be a mediocre guitar player or I could be an above average bass player.
Who's your who are your favorites in the bass realm?
Billy Sheehan.
Yeah.
One of the best, dude. I mean, I've got all kinds of VHS tapes of him, you know, playing and
unbelievable.
And stuff.
His speed and incredible. And technical ability is unreal.
Yeah, no one plays like that guy does.
It's funny, I don't play at all, and yet I know these guys because my brother, you know, was played guitar for the longest time. You'd see him in like Circus magazine and all that stuff, and you know, and you'd see his name pop up and all these guys. I mean, I remember I told you the story, Don. I took him to an Yngwie Malmsteen concert.
Yeah.
Everyone thought I was like a federal agent there to raid the place. So I got to know these guys, and even if you don't like the music, or you cannot not appreciate what they do. I mean, it's amazing stuff.
Yeah, look, I just tell penis jokes, so I appreciate anybody with more talent than that. So, and that's the other reason I like to be on the road with a band, because, you know, with a comic, it's a solitary thing.
Yeah.
It's just you, which I do like, but when I go out with bands, you know, I'm on the bus with them. I get the brotherhood of being in a band, touring the world like Vikings, but I get none of the drama of being in a band.
You get their food orders and stuff.
Yeah. The Impossible Burger,
Yeah.
The penis jokes carry over from the stage to the bus.
My rider is very demanding. My concert rider. It's one water, one monster, and a six-pack of Miller Lite.
That's it. That's it. Very on demand.
I don't need any rose petals in the dressing room.
But you are a vegetarian, right?
I am.
Yeah, so are there specific is your rider a little different for backstage?
There's no food on the rider, but we've been playing, you know, we play in nice places, House of Blues and stuff like that, and they take care of us with that.
Yeah, we usually get, you know, he's not the only vegetarian on the bus, so we get, like, you know, hummus dips and, you know, like,
is that wild
veggie
that
trays and
we've
stuff
entered
like
that stage in rock where it's like, you know, it's like, hummus, man.
Dude, I gotta have it. Where's my hummus?
Where's my Sabra, bro? Gotta have it. Oh, the other day we were in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he and I were backstage and we're playing chess. And like, this is what rock and roll has become.
Yeah.
Two guys sitting in a dressing room alone, no music playing, and just playing a game of chess.
Who won?
Someone walks in the room. Shh.
Yeah.
Hey, keep it down. We're trying to concentrate.
Pretend you're doing blow.
Yeah.
Pretend you're doing blow.
Yeah, but you know, we have a good time, man. It's a fun party bus. We had a day off in the French Quarter down in New Orleans a couple days ago. So we went out. We found it just walking down Bourbon Street. We found a place called Huge Ass Beers.
Huge Ass
Beers. That was the name of the place?
Yeah.
Huge Ass Beers.
You know, only in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And we walk in there, and there was a three-piece, just the most kick-ass blues band playing on the stage in there. Like, you would never have thought 3 p.m. walking into a place called Huge Ass Beers.
Yeah.
Where you get this real, you know, Louisiana Bayou blues band really kicking ass.
That's when the road is really cool. Do you love being out for the most part? Both
I
you guys on touring? Do you? I mean, is it? You know,
And it's great having Don on the bus too. In fact, he's not telling you the best part about the New Orleans story about that day off. He gained a new nickname that day. Donnie Sweatpants.
Donnie Sweatpants.
He went out for coffee in the morning and, you know, didn't quite change out of his pajamas yet. Thought he'd go out, get some coffee, come back to the bus, and then start his day. And then you know, 8, 9 o'clock at night rolls around, he's still wandering around Bourbon Street in his sweatpants and tank top.
And my Houston Astros throwback tank top.
Wow.
Donnie sweatpants.
That's a rock look.
We're going to have to hang on to that one.
And what was cool is they, you know, the band sussed out there might be some musicians watching, and they invited their Pop Evil's drummer, Haley, to come up and sit in on a couple songs, which she did. Which was
that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, yeah. She crushed it.
It was funny because in the green room, I don't know how long you guys have been out on the road, but in the green room, I was just asking, hey, where were you guys at last night? And you both looked at each other like, I don't know. Where the hell were we last night?
Charlotte, Baltimore, I don't know.
Charlotte, Baltimore.
Charlotte, Baltimore. Yeah, exactly.
Atlanta, Virginia.
Bartlett.
Well, they are playing the Starland Ballroom in Sayreville on the 2nd, and that's, what is today? I don't even know what today is.
It's January
20th. Saturday.
Yeah. Okay.
It's this Saturday?
Yeah.
All right, and then on Tuesday, you guys in Lancaster, and you'll be playing at the Chameleon Club.
It's all throughout the area. That's cool.
Yeah, we started in Lincoln, Nebraska, and kind of worked our way down through the South, down through Houston, Dallas, came up, like I said, through New Orleans and Atlanta. And
on a tour, when you're setting up a tour, what determines starting point? Do you have, like, okay, these are venues that we're going to be playing, and you just sit it out, and do you caucus, or do you just throw a dart at the map?
I'm pretty sure it's just the dart theory.
Just the dart theory, whatever works. Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason.
However an agent does it, man, sometimes it doesn't really make sense. But we show up and play.
Yeah, you're in Syracuse tomorrow, and then the night after you're in Edmonton. And then you'll be in Miami the next day.
Yeah, that's enough travel time. Yeah.
Well, you guys played our MMRBQ back in 2012.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so, and how does something like that happen? You can veto that if you guys don't want to do, like, the festival thing, you know, one summer or whatever. You guys can say no, or is it...
No.
No, you can't. Okay. Yeah,
really. You can't.
The manager sets all that stuff up, right?
Right, yeah. All that stuff kind of gets taken care of, and we have little to no say about it. But, I mean, we love doing that stuff. We wouldn't want to turn it down.
But that's almost kind of the thing. You need someone to sort of be the you have to do this. You sort of give them sort of a quasi power of attorney to make the call so that you can piss and moan about it going, but you get it done.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Someone's got to steer the ship a little bit. And, you know, like as artists, I guess, you know, creative types, like our brains are in kind of a different zone.
Right.
We worry about, you know, making good songs and putting on a good show and stuff like that. And some of the logistics are just better handle with someone else.
Our festival shows fun because they are a different vibe for a band. You sort of get into the groove and then your set's finished. They're shorter sets for bands, but you can just power through the hits and it's a different audience as well.
Yeah, 100%. We really enjoy doing stuff like that because it is like that. You know, you get to play in front of a ton of people that you don't usually play for. People are hyped for it. They've been, you know, pre-partying all day and stuff like that. But I love doing clubs too, man. It's like I love having that the ability to do both because you get the energy from the crowd.
But I'm curious about the thing of the festival show is you're kind of stuck there all day, right?
Oh yeah.
Because the bus, none of those trucks leave after your set's over. You got to stay till the whole thing is done,
right? Which is great because man, I get to see a bunch of bands that I don't normally get to see.
It's also on a level of just schmoozing and
maybe meeting some people.
Well, yeah,
absolutely. And you know, bands that we've toured with in the past. You know, we may have done a tour with, you know, Tesla back in 2009 or something like that.
Right.
And, you know, Three Doors Down forever ago. And we'll bump into them on festivals and it's like a family reunion.
That's awesome.
You know, you all meet up in catering and have a meal together and catch up.
Some hummus.
Yeah.
Some rock hummus. Play some chess.
Right.
I wanted to ask you, both you guys, Don, specifically too, about Bohemian Rhapsody. Did you get to see the movie?
I did.
And
what'd
you think?
I laughed, I cried, I danced.
There you go.
It was amazing. I was surprised for a Hollywood movie how much actual music they put into the film.
They did.
They basically did the whole Live Aid set at the end, except for maybe one song.
It was amazing. I mean, that recreation was so freaking spot on. And he was... It doesn't hurt that, you know, the band was basically the producer of the movie, that they had access to the music. But, you know, I was blown away. Listen, they always do, when we talk about this, the Hollywood shorthand, where they're going to take, you know, contort some stuff. But I think Rami Malek as Freddie Mercury just kind of nailed it, you know?
Yeah.
Did you see it, Matt?
I have not seen it yet. I'm waiting for the right time. I don't just want to catch it on a whim. I want to sit down and give it
its due on a good sound system if you can too. It's pretty rocking.
Yeah.
What's the great rock biopic that has yet to be made?
Oh God! I don't anything with Lemmy, of course.
Yeah, let's see the big screen treatment of a Motorhead. Right?
Yeah, you want to see those moles on a giant screen.
Right, get the effects guy from The Thing to do that. Yeah,
they got to be coming at you while you're in your seat.
Right. Yeah.
You got the Motley Crue one coming up. The Dirt. That's down the road. That's, right. There's plenty of story there, so that should be kind of interesting.
That's I'm really interested to see that.
Yeah.
Well, the book, you don't let a truth get in the way of a good story.
Right. Yeah.
There are plenty of crazy adventures in that. So, and that's been in the making for like 20 years. So hopefully,
I love it. I love
it. Won't be a letdown.
Yeah. They start to roll this stuff out. It's, it's cool to see this because we used to have Behind the Music, which was fun, but that's pretty much done now.
Yeah. So. Well, listen, thank you guys for the visit. It was really cool of you to come by.
We love to wake up early.
Sometimes you just stay up.
Don Jamieson and Pop Evil are on tour, and they'll be playing the Starland Ballroom in Sayreville, New Jersey, February 2nd, so this Saturday, and then next Tuesday they'll be in Lancaster at the Chameleon Club, which is pretty cool, too. So, Matt, nice to have you by here,
hey,
man.
Great to meet you guys. Thanks for having us.
Good luck with everything.
On.
Continued success. And, Don, always great to hang out with you.
Thanks, man. We're really having a blast, man. Excellent. And doing the comic with the band thing, inexplicable, but it really works well.
Awesome.
And we're having a blast.
All right. All right, Don Jamieson, yeah. Matt Marino, Pop Evil. We are going to... Are we skipping the bizarre file?
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? We're going to skip the B-file. We'll come back in a moment. We will get to that when we return. Stay with us, my friend.
Become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
We skipped the bizarre file. Because we were talking to Don Jamieson, our buddy, and also Matt Dorito from Pop Evil, who stopped it. It was very nice to have those guys by here. So we're going to do that in this segment, along with Lesson Question Trash, Music News, and all that other stuff. Casey, should I make this announcement first?
Oh, you know what? Yeah.
Do all it. Right.
So,
we don't need all the pop and circumstances.
No, this is all cool. But
here.
We have an event, I would say a concert announcement, but it's not really a concert. It is a show, however. I guess a show announcement, I could call it that. This will be at the Borgata Event Center in Atlantic City, Friday, June 28th. And the reason we bring it up now is because tickets go on sale this Friday at theborgata.com. It is the return of our good friend, Mr. Joe Rogan.
Yeah!
So Rogan's going to be playing the Borgata. And we're excited about this. And guess what? I have a pair of tickets to give away to see Joe Rogan at the Borgata Event Center in Atlantic City on Friday, June 28th.
I think I have to get out to see that because his last special was so freaking good.
8 p.m. is the show. It's on Friday, so it's perfect, Steve. So we'll take caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR and give you those tickets. And like I said, tickets do go on sale this Friday at noon at theborgata.com, which is cool. So hopefully we'll talk to Joe sometime before that.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Get all set for that. Just wanted to announce
that. He's got a little big, man.
By physically or?
No, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
he's in wonderful, wonderful shape. No, but I mean, when we first became friendly with him, his star has risen.
Yeah, yeah, rightfully so, man.
Yep. Agreed.
Sharp stuff.
All right. Bizarre file.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
All right, here we go. Authorities are hunting for a gunman who killed a man and wounded two others at a funeral near Los Angeles. It happened Friday afternoon outside of New Holy Trinity Baptist Church in Compton.
Sorry, just got swept up with everything.
An argument erupted between family members attending services for a relative who was brought there after dying in Louisiana. A memorial was being held for 29-year-old Jakira Green, who died in a car crash in the South. During the service, as her grandmother was eulogizing, a man suddenly stood up and began yelling and cursing.
Mm.
According to the sheriff, words were said inside the service that somebody took offense to. Emotions got out of hand. Witnesses say the dispute spilled out into the back parking lot where fists were thrown. And then somebody pulled out a gun and began firing, resulting in three men being shot.
It's unbelievable.
Funeral.
I always leave my gun at home when I go to a funeral.
One man died at the scene. Two others were hospitalized in stable condition. During the mayhem, two drivers collided in the street as they tried to speed away. So it was a car accident, too.
It's like a freaking action movie.
Neither the shooter nor gun used in the shooting has been found as of Friday night. Investigators say they know who the suspects are and are working to track them down. A family vacationing in Miami were booted from their flight after passengers complained about their body odor.
Yeah.
But Yossi Adler said, there's no body odor that we have. This was Thursday morning at Miami International Airport.
Not a lick.
Adler, his wife, and their 19-month-old daughter were preparing to fly back home to Detroit on Wednesday night when they were escorted off their American Airlines flight. He said, as soon as they took us off, they closed the gate and they said, sorry, sir, some people complained that you had body odor and we're not letting you back on.
You're stinky.
The Adler said that they were told that their luggage would be taken off the plane, but that didn't happen, leaving them with only the clothes on their backs.
You're stinky and you have no luggage.
They said he said they have our car seat, stroller, everything. American Airlines sent a statement acknowledging the reason for the removal. It read, Mr. Adler and his wife were removed from the flight when several passengers complained about their body odor. They have been booked into a hotel for the night, given meal vouchers, and they've been rebooked on the flight on Thursday. The Adlers returned to Miami International Airport early Thursday in hopes that they would be able to fly home. They said, we stopped several people in the airport,
yeah,
and it's embarrassing, but we asked them, do you think we smell? Because we just got kicked off a plane for smelling. Adler said he's frustrated, and he wants to know the real reason that they were forced off the plane.
They appear to be like a clean family. Apparently, from what I understand, the people they had asked whether they were just being kind or not said they didn't smell anything in particular.
Yeah.
So, that would be interesting.
The Adlers later sent a text message acknowledging that they made it to Detroit and successfully reunited with their luggage when they got there.
But who went to the news with this? Because if it was them, like, I wouldn't want anybody to know, but whether it was true or not.
They're the ones who made us stink.
Yeah, but if it weren't true, you would certainly want people to know about that.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because all I see is stinky family not allowed on plane. I can't smell it through the TV or through the internet, so.
Word.
We can't be known as the stinky family.
Please, whether please don't call them.
True or not.
I don't want to die as a member of the stinky family.
A new bill aims to ban dwarf tossing contests at bars and strip clubs across Washington state. Sponsored by Senator Mike Padden, Senate Bill 5486 would ban such contests and promotions and any other recreational activity involving exploitation that endangers the health, safety, and welfare of any person with dwarfism.
You're just going to send the dwarf business over to Alaska.
Yeah. Well, I mean, have you guys ever been to anything like that?
No.
I have. And, I mean, it's weird. I didn't actually toss dwarves, but, and it wasn't at a bar.
Did you catch them?
No, but it was at, like, a private event, you know.
Okay. A funeral?
No. Oh. It's just at a beach house. These guys like to do crazy things. And so one weekend they hired little people.
Okay.
And that's what they were hired for. It's not like they were hired.
It was the guy's business.
Yeah, it wasn't like they were hired to be waiters.
I've seen little, it's like they weren't abducted. It was
right.
Little people who conducted a business where they wanted to be participants, right?
Yeah. I mean,
what did the guy seem? Was he up? Was the dwarf or was the little person down with it?
Yeah. I mean, that's what the job, that's, it
was
his,
that was in the job description.
It was his business. It's, you know,
yeah, it wasn't like he showed up to do car detailing and they started throwing him around the room.
I mean, I didn't feel right about it. You know what I mean? It didn't, but
no,
I don't know what's any different between that and hiring a private stripper.
Wait, I was just here to wax your car. What are you doing? Hey, let's throw him around. Hey, he's tight. Throw him around. He's not even human.
Hey!
Anyway. So anyhow.
Don't, only you can prevent forest fires.
Padden, the senator said that he became aware of the issue when a medical student with dwarfism contacted him about a dwarf tossing contest last October at a strip club. The student, who's, like I said, a medical student, said he was concerned about potential injuries to participants as people with dwarfism are particularly susceptible to spine and neck injuries.
It's like they said in the 60s, Preston. What if they gave a dwarf tossing party and no one came?
Yeah, what would happen? Okay. Let me see.
I didn't even know that was still a thing, to be honest.
One last story, and then we'll wrap it up. And with this one. Three people were arrested on drug charges following an investigation into a man pleasuring himself in a Target
How much investigation?
In a Target dressing room with the door open.
Oh, come on.
Jeez. And close the door.
Now, officers were dispatched
to
Target.
That's what I do.
On both Saturday, January 19th and Thursday, January 24th for reports of a man they identified as Lewis Foreman pleasuring himself in a fitting room while the door was open. In both cases, he fled the store in a gold Jaguar. Now, on the 24th, after he fled, officers tracked him, but he fled on foot. And then when officers tried to stop him entering a residence through a rear door, he went and hid in the attic. Now, he surrendered a little bit later on without incident. A search warrant also executed at the same residence found 8.75 pounds of marijuana in sealed bags, digital scales, packing materials, and $4,500 in suspected drug proceeds.
Kathy, this guy gets so aroused at Target, he has to pleasure himself and he drives a gold Jaguar.
Wow.
I think we found your Mr. Right.
Yes. This is Mr. Right.
But
sure.
If you've got pounds of weed at the house, don't go spanking it in public, you idiot.
No.
All right, and there you go. That's what we have in the bizarre file for you this morning. We are now, hang on, I'm looking. My papers have gotten all mixed up together.
Is the color coding clips, are they still in effect?
Yeah.
I don't see you using those. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Black is bizarre file.
All right.
Yeah. Yellow is incidentals. Red is music news.
I love it.
And green is entertainment news. And now, the lesson question, which has no color coding, which is why I lost it.
Translucent. Okay.
The lesson question today, we are going to give away 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Auto Show. And the question I have for you this morning, the top two movies at the box office were Glass and The Upside, which were both shot here in Philadelphia. Where did they shoot the number 3 movie, Aquaman, which was in the Philadelphia area?
It's amazing.
Too. Yeah. 215-263 WMMR. Where did they shoot the number 3 movie, Aquaman? That was from early this morning. You had to have been listening. Let's see if you know the answer. And we'll do the trash while we are awaiting your call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Dunkin'. The best twos are Dunkin' go-tos. 2 eggs and cheese wraps for $2. 2 bagels with cream cheese spread for $4. 2 bacon, egg, and cheese croissants for $5. Preston and Steve run on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusion apply. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Cardi B reportedly put on a tremendous show during the AVN Awards Saturday night in Las Vegas. Heads turned in bewilderment as a confused Cardi thanked the Hollywood Foreign Press.
No. Hey!
Just doesn't get the idea there. Sarah Palin's oldest son, Track Palin, was released from an Alaska residential center where he was forced to live after a domestic violence arrest. Track was picked up by some of his other siblings, including brother Target and weather stripping. And finally, Prince Philip sent an apology letter to Emma Fairweather, who was injured when the 97-year-old caused a car accident last week. Prince Philip wished Fairweather a speedy recovery and gave her a gift certificate good for one beheading. Oh, and that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to the question this morning. The top two movies at the box office were Glass and The Upside, which were both shot here in Philadelphia. Where did they shoot the number 3 movie, Aquaman? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Justin. Hey, Justin, good morning.
Good morning.
Justin, you know where they shot Aquaman?
Was it the Delaware River?
Yes, yes! That is correct. Hang on a second, Justin. We got you. We're going to set you up with a 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Auto Show. And the auto show is back, gang, February 2nd to the 10th. 700,000 square feet, 700 vehicles, 9 days, all under one roof. And there's nothing like it. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com for the details. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, this morning's music news brought to you by Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University. Offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs, their expert audiologists will help you hear your best. Info at salusuhealth.com/PEI. Before we do this, we missed two things this morning. I do birthdays at Entertainment News, so I'm going to do a couple of more that we missed this morning during music news.
What happened?
It's Nick Murphy's birthday today!
How did you miss that?
How did I not know? I don't know.
Why are we the last to know?
But we are. So happy birthday to one of our most favoriteest people of all time.
He loves to watch suggestive movies with his mother.
Our video...
No, his brother does.
Oh, okay. Our video god, Nick Murphy. And yesterday was Sarah Parker's birthday.
Oh!
And she sent me a lovely little card that she left on my desk for her birthday, for my birthday, and I didn't get her anything.
What card did you send her?
I will get her one.
You know what?
Toot sweet.
Just cross out Preston and write Sarah.
You should just give it back to her.
She is a lovely young lady.
She's wonderful.
And our new music director of WMMR, so that's cool. So happy birthday, Sarah. Happy birthday, Nick Murphy. Very cool, man. All right, so Tool drummer Danny Carey may have casually revealed over the weekend when the band's long-awaited new album is finally arriving. In a fan video taken at the NAM, National Association of Music Merchants, at the convention in Anaheim, Carey is asked during an autograph session if there's any news on the LP, and he responds, yeah, it should be out by mid-April. That's the plan, anyway.
And that was, he wasn't supposed to let that slide?
And, well, in other predictions he has done about Tool's album in the past, he said at one point in late 2017 the record would be out in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that never happened, so you never know.
All right.
In other news, manager James Keenan told AZ Central that he will open a tasting room for his Northern Arizona wineries, Merkin Vineyards and Cadesius Cellars in downtown Scottsdale, Arizona, in early March. He's already operating one in his central location of Jerome, Arizona. He said, I just wanted to bring some of the Northern Arizona wines down to that area that will be there with the Sonita and Wilcox wines. So he's still,
I don't know deep, what the hell he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Deep into that stuff. Mentioned this earlier, Metallica frontman James Hetfield can be seen several times in the first trailer for a new film called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile, which appeared on Friday. The film follows the life of infamous American serial killer Ted Bundy, played by Zac Efron. The movie premiered at the Sundance Film Festival on Saturday, will be screened there again on the 3rd.
Apparently his performance is really, really good.
Yeah, he plays Bob Hayward, the Utah Patrol veteran, who is the first law enforcement officer to arrest Bundy in 1975. The film also stars Jim Parsons, Big Bang Theory, and Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense, and also John Malkovich is in it, too. No word yet on the release date as of yet.
I remember when Dee Snider played Harriet Tubman.
Yeah?
It was an incredible performance.
A lot of people didn't know he had that kind of talent.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl, Corey Taylor, and others got together to jam on Thursday night in Santa Ana, California's Observatory OC for Dime Bash, a tribute to late Pantera guitarist Dimebag Darrell Evan. Footage of Grohl, Taylor, ex-Pantera, bassist Rex Brown, members of Anthrax, and others performing the Pantera classic Walk has surfaced online. So they got together for that. And a couple of announcements of shows. We just got these this morning. Let's see. This summer tour is coming to the Wells Fargo Center July 22nd, and it's John Mayer who's coming to town.
Ah.
John Mayer playing the Wells Fargo Center July 22nd. The pre-sale starts on the 29th. Of this month at 10 a.m. local time. And you get more information at livenation.com. And Nick sent me this. Eddie Vedder is going to be doing some opening dates for The Who.
What?
Unfortunately, it won't be here when they play.
Solo?
Yeah. He'll be playing, performing in London.
You guys like the ukulele?
Supporting The Who at Wembley Stadium on Saturday, July 6th. Other than that, I don't know any shows off the, as far as that goes
that's
right
the
now.
Only one that's been officially announced.
Okay.
So is it a, I assume he has some sort of band he would use?
Yeah,
right,
probably.
Nick?
I mean, I've seen him at the Tower, Ed Solo, and he'll do some acoustic stuff. He'll do some uke stuff if that's what you're there to see. But he'll play with a band and do some Pearl Jam songs, some Eddie Vedder solo stuff. So he'll probably do some solo stuff as well. And then I bet you he'll come out and play with The Who.
Maybe if you guys ever heard a song played on a road cone?
He's in London.
I think you're going to like this.
That guy's available.
Oh, my God. I would. Could you imagine him stepping out onto the stage with a big orange road cone and actually doing that? That would be brilliant.
That'd be great.
Jesus. All right.
Reminds me of England.
And that is what I have in music news for you. Let's take a break and get ready to wrap the program up. But not before we get our letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize, which is coming up next. I'll give you all the information on that when we get back. Stay with us.
Whether you've got an Amazon Echo, Spot, or Dot, make sure you first enable the MMR skill. Alexa, enable MMR. Once you do, it's easy as pie to listen to MMR's live stream, the Preston and Steve Daily Podcast, or the Bizarre Files. Your wish is our command with simple voice-activated access to WMMR. Alexa, open MMR.
10:45 Monday morning. Preston and Steve Show. We're just getting started here at MMR, man. We gave away $1,000 this morning. Sorry it wasn't you. That doesn't mean that it's not going to be you. Four more chances today alone to win that money. And on top of that, $10,000. Even if you don't win the grand, you could still win $10,000.
I love that that could happen. I love that both could happen to you.
Yeah. Definitely, you are not excluded from winning the $10,000 if you win $1,000. So details at WMMR.com. Thank you to Don Jameson and Matt Dorito for stopping by today.
Nice guy.
Don is our old friend, and Matt is actually an old friend as well, because Pop Evilly, the band he plays bass for, has played the MMRBQ before. So it was cool to have those guys come by this morning. It was a nice way to spend a Monday. Pierre Robert, back, rest, relaxed, rested. rested and relaxed.
Sound like the other way.
You sound like me.
Rest and relaxed?
Yep.
Relaxed.
I'm relaxed.
How you doing, man?
Excellent.
Wonderful. Well, we begin with a new Word of the Week prize. If we want to go ahead and get the letter, we can do that.
I would like that.
Here we go.
Oh, God damn it. Come on, sing it, Pierre.
I like Casey. Ah, God damn it.
What?
We screwed up.
I didn't eject the stupid sound thing there.
The bed.
Yeah.
The best software is the software that imitates the redundancy and stupidity of hardware.
Exactly.
Now I'm ready. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter...
R as in redundant.
Yep, and we have an RCA 55-inch 4K Ultra HD Smart TV and $50 Philly Pretzel Factory gift card. Order your big game party trays from Philly Pretzel Factory, and pretzels are twisted and baked fresh every day. Visit your local store or order online at PhillyPretzelFactory.com. So we'll give that away on Friday. Did you have an enjoyable weekend?
I did.
Oh!
I almost texted you. It was too late Friday night, but I almost texted you Saturday. I went to see Queen Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah. I spoke with you about that last week.
Preston came in the studio last week and said, have you seen it yet? And I said, no. I said, I don't have that great of a system at home, first of all, and I don't want to watch it home. I want to watch it in a big theater with good sound and that whole wide expanse. And so Friday I finished up some stuff, and then I went to the gymnasium, and then I said I can catch the 10:20 showing. And it was me and three other people in the giant theater. So I had my choice of seats and some popcorn and watched the whole story of Queen. It was amazing.
Excellent.
I'm so glad I went. And everyone has told me, you listeners, other friends, but it was so powerful on so many levels. I mean, first of all, the music and that amazing story. But secondly of all, his struggle with AIDS. When I was leaving San Francisco, that first wave of that horrible tsunami of AIDS was just crashing and people didn't even know what it was. And, you know, to see the early stages of it with Freddie and then his dealing with it and his sexuality. And then again, back to the music and the relationship with the band. We've seen so many of those. And then to culminate at Live Aid, which, you know, half of which took place here. And those amazing shots, as you guys have mentioned, of how they were able to. I don't know what they did
They CGI'd a great portion of it, and it looked phenomenal.
I mean,
and then he's standing there. I mean, and Preston, you know, anyone, go take a look at the original footage.
Yeah.
They virtually matched it spot on.
They had the logos correct. They had the color of the stage correct. But when they did that sweep, that kind of dive into Wembley Stadium and across the crowd up to the stage, I'm going, oh, my God.
They even had, because I went back the next day and I watched the actual Live Aid video. They even have all of the soda cups on his piano exactly the way they were at the performance. Like anything that was sitting around, they really nailed it. And and they covered pretty much, as Don Jameson was saying earlier this morning, they pretty much did their entire set. I think they left out Crazy Little Thing Called Love for the movie, and that was it. But the rest of it they played. like the entire set because they only got 20-minute sets.
I think they did do We Will Rock You into We Are the Champions.
Okay.
In the movie, he just goes into We Are the Champions. I could be wrong about that, yeah. But it was how they were able to recreate that in such an amazing way. It just brought home the whole emotion of Live Aid because I covered it from the second it went from the rumors of it. I interviewed Bob Geldof when Band Aid came out, and we played that heavily. And then that spring, we talked to him again and said, how did it go? He said, it was amazing. I said, any follow-up? He goes, well, we're thinking of these concerts. And that was like in March. Mm. And we followed it all the way through. And I was out when people were buying tickets for it. I was there at 8 a.m. that morning until midnight that night, covering every second of that show. It was staggering.
Something you left out about the movie, you were talking about how impactful it was and everything. But you know what else it was? It was really funny, too.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of really funny moments.
We were talking about this, where there's a moment in the bus where he has this guy who's actually going to be good in his life and his lover. And,
yeah.
And he goes, what do you think of him? And
Brian May's like, oh, he's a nice chap.
And Freddie goes, I think he's gay. but I mean, I remember seeing documentaries and reading about Freddie Mercury and just a good soul, you know. And he had his artist things and his bitchy things, but everyone you can tell with the love like Brian May and the band has for him, and what he went through. But I was so impressed when I was watching it, even though there's Hollywood shorthand involved. I found myself like tearing up at multiple moments throughout it because I remember also when I was running around with that Night at the Opera album going, you got to listen to this.
Yeah,
you
know. Yeah.
I was in tears for the entire Live Aid set. I just was overcome. It was so powerful. And I found out another piece of little trivia. When he's early on in the road and he's discovering his sexuality and his attraction to men, there's a truck driver at a stop where they're at that he has a little fling with. And the guy gets out of a truck, this big masculine guy, and he eventually follows him and has a hookup with him. And we don't see that part, but it turns out that truck driver is Adam Lambert.
You kidding me?
In the movie?
That's the guy who played him?
Adam Lambert,
who now is
with Queen. They totally...
I didn't recognize
him. They totally...
That's funny.
...really butched him up and made him look like this, you know, masculine, bearded truck driver. And lo and behold, that's Adam Lambert, who now plays with Queen. And is doing the Freddie Mercury part.
Nick just pulled it up and says, truck driver uncredited.
Yeah.
In Bohemian Rhapsody.
So,
and Mike Myers was cool having him as, obviously they helped with the resurgence of Queen.
Right.
With Wayne's World.
Yeah. And what's fascinating is that the Queen and Adam Lambert show, it has always done well, but it's on fire now.
Yeah.
This movie has helped these shows go even more. More sold out. So it's pretty amazing story. Cool. Very moving.
I'm glad you got out to see it.
I'm blown away by it.
Excellent.
Thank you for that kick in the ass.
Yeah, no problem, man. So what's up on today's show, if you don't mind?
On the show today, we'll have, I have a $50 pretzel thing to give away.
Nice, pretzel thing. Wait, no, don't just rush right over that. You need to let the listener drink that in a
Thank
bit.
Thank you, Steve.
What are you going to be offering to listeners of the Pierre Robert Experience today?
Both of you have helped me. Preston, to see the movie. Steve, in my ability to plug what I have to give away. I have a $50 Philly Pretzel Factory gift card. You can order your big game party trays from Philly Pretzel Factory. They're twisted and baked, just like Pierre. Twisted and baked.
Yes.
In all honesty, by the way, I freaking
twisted.
Love those pretzels.
They are
I
great.
Freaking
twisted
love them.
Twisted and baked.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
But it says it right here.
I know.
I added the just like Pierre part.
You're taking it to a different level.
I'm pretty smart up here. And we'll have a workforce block of Pink Floyd. Yesterday was Nick Mason's birthday. We got Hailstorm. We got U2. It's going to be fun.
All right. Thank you, Pierre. I'm going to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also, Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International, and also the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University. Quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Tomorrow, our friend Sebastian Latou of the Philadelphia Union will be in our studio. And we have an in-studio Tattoos Day tomorrow. You know, we changed things up a little bit, but we'll explain why that's taking place tomorrow. So that's it. We are done. So, Ray John, have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Why the f*** do I go to the f*** doctor to tell me to go to a doctor to tell me to go to a doctor $50 a time, and then they tell me I gotta get a physical therapy three times a week for 4 weeks at $50 a time? Ain't nothing wrong with me.
Next message.
Love you guys. You guys are funny. I go to Montgomery Community College, and I listen to you guys while I'm commuting there. Love you.
Next message.
This one goes out to the deer that I hit on Friday morning that got up and ran away. F*** you. You can eat the snotty end of my because now I got to go spend $500 to get the front end of my car replaced. F*** you.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.